The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one?
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called, jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, and things couldn't be any better here at Gillette Stadium. It is Wednesday, media day. We're back to a normal schedule, but I'll tell you, after that drubbing that the Patriots laid on the Houston Texans, I guess it is back to normal here. The Patriots are in their rightful place atop the AFC in terms of the unofficial rankings. I know that the Texans still have a better record, but I think it was Wade Phillips who actually said it doesn't feel like we've won more games than them.
He tweeted that, actually.
Yeah. So I hear where he's coming from.
Yeah.
It does feel like the Patriots have, and I think a lot of that has to do with the way the Texans games have been going up until now. They've had some squeakers in some games where people said, like for that Lions game, for example, mm-hmm. you know, they didn't deserve to win, whatever.
Even the Jags game.
That's
they
right.
Should've,
that's true.
Should've lost.
That's right. So, like I said, the Patriots are atop the AFC once again, where they should be, now controlling their destiny thanks to the Baltimore Ravens losing on Sunday. So if the Patriots win out, they're guaranteed at least the two bye. So that's it. Just got to win out. Got a big game coming up against the San Francisco 49ers. That's not going to be any easy task, but it's at home, and it's December. So I would expect the Patriots to win that game. What do you got for us, PFW Nation? What is Patriots Nation, PFW Nation, all the same? Web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298. 508-298-0398.
There you go.
Is the Ace Ticket Hotline down here at the Subway Fresh Studios. So we got all that in. So, guys, Paul's here, Eric's here. Where's Andy?
He'll be here in a minute. He's making a business transaction.
Oh, really? Closing his house?
He sold a train table to somebody, and the guy who he sold it to is picking it up.
Oh, okay.
He said he'll be here by about quarter past.
Great.
And if we don't see him by then, we should call the authorities.
Right.
Because he did it on Craigslist.
Oh, I thought he brought some backup with him.
Oh,
yeah. not very intimidating backup, though.
If he comes in walking funny, we'll know what happened. All right, so guys, what do you think? You know, I don't think – I did not expect what happened. I got to admit. Like – you know, I'm not, obviously I'm not surprised the Patriots won, but I did not expect 21-0 at the half.
I also don't think Houston's as bad as they performed on Monday night.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
And I don't know if you agree with this either, Paul. I'm not sure New England is as good as they performed Monday night.
Well, I think New England performed the way they should have, but I think, like you said, the Texans got hit in the mouth and they just didn't recover.
Yeah.
It's like a few games over the last, you know, years where like Patriots go into Cleveland and they just never recovered.
Yeah.
They're not that bad, you know, but that day they were.
Do you still have faith in this defense?
I think the defense is getting better, and I think Monday night was another step in that.
Do you think they're relying far too much on? I don't want to lead the witness here, but are they relying too much on creating turnovers instead of, you know, getting off the field on third down?
Not Monday night.
Monday night. That's
not
sure.
Monday night. Yeah. I think, in general, though. I think the front seven has had some good games, but I think that was one of their best, the front seven. Now, I think they created a lot of pressure, and I think Matt Schaub, I don't think he played that well. So I'm still not ready to say that backfield, that defensive backfield is where it's, you know, we don't have to worry about them anymore. I'm not ready to say that. But I think the front seven, I think, you know, when you talk about complementary defense, I think they really helped the back, the guys in the defensive backfield. And I think they had one of their best games from pressure. You know, it looked a little unsteady at first. You know, Arian Foster had a few good runs, but then they settled down, I think, on the edges, up the middle. Vince Wilfork had a great game. Brandon Dedrick, all of a sudden now, is getting significant snaps and perhaps taking away the starting job from Kyle Love. I know Love is battling something.
I don't know if that would have happened if Love hadn't developed this knee injury.
But he came in later.
Love. He did. Yeah. Well, and he has the last couple of games.
Yeah, it's a good question whether or not it would have happened, but it should have because he's playing better than Kyle Love was.
Yeah.
They had some problems, I thought, up front. Starting, you know, the last month or so, and I think that they've sort of gone away a little bit since Dedrick's role. And Dedrick played a lot in Miami, and they showed they had a great second half, I thought, stopping Reggie Bush, and then Monday night, I thought they were
stopping the run. Which is odd if that's actually what the problem was.
Physical thing that was causing Love's play to drop.
Might have been. Because like in the beginning of the year, it was Love and Wilfork, and you couldn't run on this team.
Right.
Then he did start to get hurt. He was full participation in practice for several weeks and probable on the injury report for each game. But that is about the time when...
Then he had an issue that he got added.
Yeah.
Like during the practice or something, he got downgraded. Didn't he go to questionable?
He went from one week to the next. He went from full to limited and
so that
limited
might have
to
been, you know,
probable
sort of
to
the,
questionable.
You know, I'm not trying to paint Kyle Love out to be, you know, Vince Wilfork.
Yeah.
But, you know, that might be... some cause and effect there.
You know, I think Mayo had a great game. I've been saying Hightower has been kind of quiet. I mean, he stepped up. Now Spikes, a lot of people said he had problem in coverage.
Oh, the linebacker struggled in coverage.
Now,
that's about the only thing you could say negative about defense.
Now, I think when there's a pass down the middle over 15 yards, I don't know if I blame more the safeties. Now,
that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about the running backs were wide open all night.
Well, I think, but I think that was sort of a pick your poison type of thing by the Patriots, don't you? I mean,
I don't think it's, Justin Forsett getting a little swing pass behind the line of scrimmage and turning it upfield for 15 yards. I don't think that's what they want.
Yeah, no, I know, but every once in a while it's going to happen in a game.
He had a couple of catches.
Completely.
Arian Foster had a 23-yard catch. It's not so much that you said, they had like a lot of catches. They made yards on those catches. Like the Danny Woodhead ones, like for the Patriots. The other team's not wanting him to get 18 yards.
Right.
You know, the way he did.
Yeah.
That's bad linebacker play.
Yeah, I don't think it was throughout the game, obviously. I mean,
once you get behind 21 points, you got to do different things.
But the Patriots were getting off the field on third down.
Absolutely.
Like they've had problems in the past. So, you know, And look, this is a
passing
league.
That was as good a defensive performance as the Patriots have had in a while.
You're going to give up plays.
Against a good team. That was I can't remember shutting down a good offense the way the Patriots did. I can't remember the last time.
Yeah, so I think the whole thing with the linebackers and coverage, they gave us – but I think it's a little bit nitpicky. I think you're going to give up plays. Every team is going to in a game. But it's the matter of, you know, is the offense able to string them together? And that's where the Patriots, I think, did a good job in getting off the field. Like, and that's a problem that they've been having. I mean, they had an easier game against the Texans than they did the Miami Dolphins. You know.
Well, and let's remember too, an important consideration here: the Texans were on their third straight road game,
and we all said that going in, a bad spot.
Very yep. bad spot. Historically, an unwinnable game. So
unwinnable.
Historically, the team.
Why'd you pick them?
Because I thought they were the better team, and I thought they were going to win.
Okay,
with my head, not with my heart.
So it's not unwinnable.
No, I said historically.
And before you jump on me, I picked them too.
So. I know. Historically, that is an unwinnable game. Historically, meaning in the past, meaning other teams who've been there before.
So you went with your heart, not with your head.
No, I went with my head.
Oh.
My head told me that despite the historical precedent, which means nothing to the current situation, the Houston was the better team, and they were going to reverse the trend.
Sounds like you went against the facts.
Well, that's what I did. And that's what I'm kicking myself for, is because I thought a lot of these things were relevant going in, like what Eric just said about the third road game. Now, I'll say this. I don't think the third straight road game had a thing to do, not a single thing to do with that game. I don't think it was an issue at all. I think the Patriots just blitzed them. But one of the other factors that I thought going in was significant, and I went against it, was the big game experience. I thought, you know, the fact that the Patriots have been there a lot and the Texans weren't, I thought was significant, and I think that was very significant Monday night. One team played like it's been there many, many times, and the other team wasn't able to jack it up and play better.
Actually, Paul, I really
just dropped the ball, and I think that's where I really went awry on my pick.
And you also made a good point when we were talking at Brady's press conference a few minutes ago about the difference between this win in December, this big win on a Monday night, versus the one 2 years ago against the Jets. I thought you made a good point about that when we were talking.
Was that the 45-3 one?
There's a chance that these teams are going to see each other again.
Yes.
Right? And there's going to be a ton of talk about it. And all you're going to hear about is the Jets from 2010. You know, well, they blew the Jets out, and then they lost to the Jets at home in the playoffs. Now they have to go to Houston, possibly, and beat a good team again, and, you know, it could happen. Everybody's going to talk about, well, that the 2010 team wasn't ready. The Patriots 2010 team wasn't ready for the moment and this and that. That all might be true. I don't think any of that matters. To me, the biggest difference is the Jets walking off the field that night in December, the 45-3 game, still thought they were a better team. Rex Ryan said so in the post-game press conference. I was there, believe me. Unfortunately, it's not a memory I like to relive. I had to listen to that. And they still thought they were better.
Yeah.
And they came here 6 weeks later and played like they thought they were better. Houston didn't leave the field the other night thinking they were a better team.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Houston tuck-tailed and run.
Yeah.
They didn't think they were better at the end of the game. I thought they had two guys that showed up, one on offense and one on defense, and J.J. Watt and Andre Johnson.
That Wade Phillips tweet, I think, directly relates to that because he was saying, you know what, it was like 11 wins feel like two and two feel like a
– Yeah, I have no doubt that if the Patriots play the Texans again, whether it's here or there, it's not going to be the same game.
I just said doesn't mean that I think the Patriots will kill them,
right?
Or even win. They might lose, but I'm saying the similarities to me are going to stop because I think the Jets felt they just had a bad game. I don't think Houston felt they just had a bad game the other night.
Yeah,
I think Houston felt they got overwhelmed.
Yeah,
and I think that's going to hurt their. It's going to hurt their whole mentality coming in.
You know, and it's funny because I went into the game, you know, and my thinking was that, you know, they're going to have to pass the ball because Houston has such a good run defense. And they did show that. I mean, up until late, they were stopping the run. And my worry, my fear was, you know, in having to throw the ball, you know, with Edelman out and Lloyd not really stepping up and Gronkowski out, you know, what are they going to do? And it turns out the one guy that I thought would be the guy, the reliable guy, Welker, was the guy who had the
worst game. I know.
And Lloyd steps up.
He did.
And, you know, and Hernandez had his typical game.
Did you have any concern about the O-line holding up to that pressure?
Well, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
But you still thought that the game plan should have been what it was, which
was
to come out and throw.
Oh, I still think they had to throw the ball. And I think all those factors, even including the O-line, made me worry about that.
You weren't going to run on them.
No.
You had to do what you did, and that's what it worked brilliantly. And you have to, when you have Brady, you have to know that even if they get pressure, he's going to be able to overcome it.
Yep.
He's going to find enough ways to make plays. Listen, is he perfect? No. No one's perfect. There are times, and you guys will throw the Giants Super Bowls at. Yeah, there's times that the pressure flushes him and knocks him off his game. And I thought there were at times the other night, he wasn't as accurate as he normally is the other night.
After they got up 21-0.
His completion percentage was not, 21 for 35. That's not Brady-like numbers.
With seven overthrows.
It's not Brady-like numbers, but he found enough matchups to make enough plays early in the game. And like I said, Houston wasn't ready to match the Patriots' intensity at the start of that game. And that was the difference.
And I was, was a little worried, up 21-0, I have to admit. The Patriots had four straight punts, and it just seemed like Brady didn't.
I like when he has to admit a fact.
I
have to admit.
Well, that's not what I'm admitting, but during that time, I have to admit that I was a little worried because
Houston could score.
It seemed like Houston had kind of figured out what the Patriots were doing, and now you're
worried that their offense,
and now you're just two touchdowns down, and if they keep getting getting
stranger things have happened,
but then Brady hits Stallworth, and that kind of like okay,
yeah.
Because he'd been trying that. He'd been trying to go over the top when he saw the pressure coming, and he knew he had one-on-one, and it wasn't working. Mm. Then finally it worked, and I felt, okay, now we're good.
Yeah, I never felt like the game was – this was – in the old days, I would have given the nod at 14-0 because I felt like the game was over. And but I do feel like the way you felt in terms of the Patriots' offense, I think it took Wade Phillips a few series to figure out what he needed to do. And he did.
Yep.
I think he did figure it out.
Yep.
Now, how that translates to a rematch, the Patriots are going to do things differently offensively as well. They're probably going to have Gronkowski in the mix. That's going to change things offensively as well. But that'll be part of the chess match. But I do think once it was 21-0, it wasn't just that the Patriots were off for the next few series. I think Wade Phillips changed some things, and they figured it out a little bit. And, the rest of the points the Patriots got, I think even you would admit, were – not as impressive as the first three touchdowns. You get a one-handed catch. A guy who was really pretty well covered a bomb for Stallworth.
It was a great catch.
In the last two touchdowns.
A better catch than it was a run.
Yeah.
The catch was unbelievable. He had one arm was basically caught up with the defender. He catches it with his right hand.
That's not a play you can rely on a lot. And that was third down play, by the way. If that's incomplete, it's five punts in a row.
Right.
And then, the two touchdowns they scored in the fourth quarter were sort of meaningless.
The Woodhead fumble that went right to Brandon Lloyd
that was something. It just shoots out 10 yards.
And Ridley, I think, touchdown.
But I don't
just
read too much into it because I know the Patriots will do things differently. Like I do think Wade Phillips made some adjustments and figured some things out. But at the same time, I think the Patriots will make some adjustments the next time they play, and they'll figure some things out. They might attack it in a whole different way than they did this time.
With all the talk with J.J. Watt, I do think he was a mismatch for anybody out there.
Whoever was blocked.
Yeah.
He lived up to the hype.
All these people saying, well, I thought he was good. He is good. He's great. But Brady is greater. he's a smart. And he figured it out with Josh McDaniels. And I thought it was interesting, even when the Patriots had the big lead, during that kind of, the point where they were bogged down, I guess McDaniels really – took the offense aside and really gave it to him on the sideline.
Yeah.
Because he 60 minutes. You don't.
Right. And that's the other thing. You can't just say that they dialed it down because they don't do that.
Right.
And that's part of the thing that'll be interesting for the next time, I think. Because I do think there's a very good chance that they see each other again.
Yeah.
Me too. So.
Unless
they completely collapse.
Like a lot of times when you play these teams that have these good records and you don't see them a lot, you come away and you're like, that's it. That was the day. I didn't think that with Houston. I think
they're a good team.
I think Houston's a pretty good team. Yeah. I think the Patriots made them look that bad.
Oh, yeah. I think they got out to the big lead, and then I think that's when I give the credit to the defense, where in the past, the other team, after making the defensive adjustments that I believe the Texans did do, the offense starts to climb back in it. The defense did not allow that to happen. That's the biggest thing I'm happy about with this game, is that they didn't allow these guys to climb back in.
Because
they put in like their middle reliever, and the middle reliever started,
he came up with a couple of 1-2-3 innings,
right,
and allowed your chance to get back in the game, and
they
didn't.
Who do you think is the better team right now, Houston or Denver?
Right now, I'd have to say Denver.
I would say Houston.
And
because of Manning.
Well, okay, but I want to. I think I'm going to agree.
It's a good argument.
It is a good argument. I'm going to agree with Paul though, because I saw a stat today, which I think is kind of telling, that Denver has only won two games against teams that have a winning record this season, and both of those teams are 7-6, I believe.
Okay.
So does that alter your thinking at all?
No.
It doesn't alter mine, but I just am looking at on the field in terms
They've
of talent.
Won 8 games in a row.
I think Houston's, you know? I think
well, they have,
better.
Yeah. But, you know, the 2008 Patriots won 11 games, too, against mostly bad teams.
No,
so
I know.
I'm just wondering if you...
Yeah. But I think that every team in the league won most of their games against bad teams, because there's mostly bad teams in the NFL.
Right.
All right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just, I'm looking, you know,
one of the teams that Denver lost to were the Patriots. So,
right.
I mean, you know.
You know, I get your point. I just think that Houston's a more talented team.
I do, too.
That's all.
Overall, I think Houston is much more
I think
talented.
Overall they might be, but Manning makes a big difference.
Yeah, and listen, I think Matt Schaub played a bad game the other night. I think he was shaky at best. You know what I thought he was reminding me of? Joe Flacco. I think he played a very Flacco-like game.
Yeah,
Not a terrible game. Not a terrible quarterback. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question.
He's a good quarterback.
And Paul, you did a lot of research going in. Do the Texans go over the top at all? Do they stretch the field?
Well, I thought they actually did that a little bit too much, to be honest with you. I thought they had, especially that drive, they throw the pick in the end zone. Yeah, they do, to answer your question.
Okay.
But the drive they get picked off in the end zone, they were sort of just picking them apart.
Right.
On crossing routes, and then they go deep. And I thought the throw was late. I thought he was open. He was late getting the ball to him. And McCourty made a terrific play to come over and pick it off. He had Arian Foster all by himself. Might have been a touchdown if he had just dumped it off. The first drive of the game, they're running the ball. They get a little bit something going. They had a third down. They went to that Lestar Jean, mm-hmm. wide open. And the throw was a little late. Arrington came back, bothered him a little bit, and he dropped it.
Right.
Those are plays that you have to make. Those are plays you have to make, and they didn't early in the game, and that was the difference.
Yeah.
The first, 15, 20 minutes of the game was over.
The other
21-0.
Interesting stat that I thought was maybe a little indicative of where Houston is right now is they're in three games against really top-tier quarterbacks, their defense has gotten shredded. Aaron Rodgers killed them, Brady killed them, and I forgot who the third one was.
Manning didn't.
No, but there was another. There might have been another one.
See, the fact that Manning didn't, you would think, okay, the smart
Manning,
quarterbacks that can recognize where the pressure's going to come from, but Manning is one of them.
Manning had good numbers in that game, but they were in a chase, a comeback hurry-up mode.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the game, I think he ended up with 3 touchdown passes in the game. So statistically, it might look. I watched that game. That was, I believe that game was played the night we played Baltimore, and Andy and I were doing the show here watching that game, and Houston dominated that game.
Andy's here, so quick take. I mean, I've penciled in the Patriots as the best team in the AFC. According to Wade Phillips, doesn't feel like the Texans have won.
You know, it's funny.
I agree with him.
He chastised us. He chastised us for just putting the Patriots at the top. And now he's saying, I have the Patriots at the top. Remember, his edit letter and...
Yes,
what you can't do is say,
when are you
going
to learn that Fred of Sunday night, or in this case Monday night, is not the same of Fred 2 days later?
Because I'm doing it. That was my whole analysis.
How are you not the best team in the AFC?
Take note, the rest of the league. Well, the rest of the AFC, anyway.
You're playing the best football.
Sure.
I'll let you know what that means long term after Sunday night, because I think they're facing a beast of a different flavor this week and could get ass whooped. They may win, but they could actually, I think, win and get their ass whooped.
It'd be a physical game.
I don't think
sure.
they have played a team like this, a team that, you watch on offense, they'll bring in a defensive end and an outside linebacker to line up as blockers, and everybody will be within, the tackle box, quote unquote, and they'll just run it at you. And then on defense, they're just going to hit you. Maybe after the whistle, maybe before the whistle, they're going to bang you around, and let's see how this team, which I do think is more finesse these days than physical, I think that's a challenge for them, especially on a short week, coming off a big game. And, Vince Wilfork can tell me there's no after effect. It's, on to the next game. But don't tell me they weren't jacked up for that game. They all said it. Mayo said it. There was something a little extra there.
Yeah.
Well, you got to do that again against a better team, a way better defense that's far more physical. So I think this is a big challenge this week.
Now, didn't
real quick, I'm sorry. Yeah. Matthew Stafford was the other quarterback I couldn't think of.
Okay.
Who put up big numbers against their defense.
Now, didn't you say, Andy, going in that you thought it might be a blowout, Patriots blowout?
He said pretty much everything.
No, that was you.
Actually, Kevin Collins.
It was you this week.
I picked Houston to win.
I got to give it up.
No, I know.
I already did my mea culpa. You missed it.
If you recall me saying that, Fred, then I said it.
No, I thought.
I believe you picked both teams to win 27-21.
No, I didn't. No, this week I picked just the Patriots. I mean, just the Patriots to win 27-21.
But Kevin can be there, obviously, for insight.
The one thing I didn't expect was a blowout.
Oh, so I thought I was remember being pleasantly surprised that you did say that. I think the Patriots are going to kill him.
That was Kevin. No, a lot of people. He did say it on Rook's show.
I got to be honest with you.
He predicted a blowout.
Well, the prediction of a Patriots blowout.
Wow.
Well, I'm busy. I'm busy.
The prediction of a Patriots blowout is the one that I heard the most during the week. A Patriots blowout win is the one I heard the most.
Well, but from fans, different though,
people.
Right?
Well, fans, people on the radio. Really? You know, radio host, you know,
people
talk show
picking blowouts?
A lot of Tom Curran, I talked to him 10 minutes before the game. He said, I think this is the next in the line of the teams that try to step up and challenge the Patriots, and they're going to get blasted.
Well, now,
he
did he
10
right.
minutes
all
before
week.
The game.
Because I tend to think Tom Curran has multiple personalities.
I only talked to him.
You see him at certain times, he might have said different things.
Fair point. Tom Curran, check. Andy and I have a little checklist of media guys.
Shots
that
at every member of the media at some point.
Yeah,
but don't you think
this
is a much
that.
Bigger challenge? I mean, or did you think coming in?
I think defensively it is, but I going in, I don't respect the 49ers offense as much as I do the Texans going in. Yeah, now, maybe that's changed a little now that I've seen Schaub.
Well,
you know,
Schaub certainly didn't pass the eyeball test.
No, he didn't.
J.J. Watt did.
Really?
Matt Schaub didn't.
But does Colin Kaepernick? I mean, what
I don't
we
know.
Expect-
I haven't tested him with my eyeball
well, that's
yet.
The thing. You know, what are we expecting going in from him? You know, but they, well, I love Frank Gore. I mean, he's great. You know,
and
but what
in that aspect, their workhorse back has 4.9 a carry. The Texans' workhorse back was 3.9 a carry. So just numbers wise, he's having a better season.
Right.
And they don't have an Andre Johnson, but they have decent receivers, and they have a tight end that's better than Owen Daniels in terms of being a playmaker. I mean, that tight end can win games for them.
That's true.
So they have enough aspects on offense, but as always, it comes down to one guy.
Right.
Well, maybe two. Colin Kaepernick, and if they bring in Alex Smith, that's still an option, I got to think, if you're going to lose a game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to come down to the quarterback, and I thought Schaub wasn't horrific, but he wasn't terrific. You know, he was somewhere in between and not good enough. Not good enough for what they needed on that night. But I think I had this one circled, not as the more important game. You won the more important game.
Yeah.
But this one, in terms of sort of old school, you know how they like to say measuring your you-know-what?
Yeah.
This is a measuring your you-know-what game.
I agree with that. This is, you know, this could be, who knows, they could be the Super Bowl
could be.
Teams. You
could
know,
be.
Who knows?
I doubt it. I don't think the Niners
I agree with you on the offense, though. I don't think the Niners have anywhere near what Houston does on offense.
Yeah.
Now, they're a more physical defense, and Andy's point about getting their butts kicked and whatnot, that could come to pass. I think it is a very physical defense.
Yeah. So, yet again, another very intriguing game.
Oh, yeah. This is as good a stretch as you're going to find for a Patriots team. Your home, primetime games, even the weather. Last week you had 60 degrees. There's potential for snow this week.
Yeah.
So you're getting both ends of the spectrum
some
there.
Some type of precipitation.
Yeah.
I heard the parking guys, you know, it's changing every minute, but, you know, and I heard 1-3 somewhere.
The weather was not a factor on Monday night.
At all.
Oh, no.
It couldn't have been more perfect.
It was bombing.
Weathermen blew that.
It was almost like they played in the dome. It was beautiful.
It was moist.
I had a guest here. A guest here from Apple.
Came out.
Yeah,
hard.
We know.
And
I don't know how you made it through the blog when you didn't go up to the press box 5 hours early,
isn't it?
I brought him to the pro shop to get him a rain jacket because he was sitting in the club seats. I go, you know, by buying this jacket, we've guaranteed it's not going to rain. And sure enough, it did not rain.
Was he a bigwig?
Oh yeah.
The guy with jeans?
It wasn't Tim Cook, but, you know.
Did he have jeans on? They all wear jeans, right?
No, he didn't have jeans on.
How close to Tim Cook is he?
In terms of sports, he's, you know, he's one of the top guys in that category.
But sports is probably
apps.
Well,
apps.
Okay.
A minor aspect.
Yeah,
of
I'm talking in the overall.
In the app business.
Chart.
Yeah, no.
Oh, so he's James Devlin.
I don't know who.
He's
not on
James Devlin
is.
Because I don't know who Tim Cook is.
Oh, he's
the CEO of Apple.
He took over for
Jobs. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, all right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com. Phone lines are stacked up. Emails are coming in. Everybody loves Tuesday. in this case, Wednesday. because it's their first chance to talk to PFW in Progress about the game. So let's get right into it, unless Andy has anything else he needs to say because he came late.
I'm just pumped and jacked that I just made money off of used toys. That's all I'm...
It's always good to
And
do.
Lived, by the way.
Although,
yeah, it was getting
that used
period.
Toy someday could be worth a lot more than what you sold it because...
Doesn't matter.
No.
Bird in the hand.
I still... I mean, we all... That toy chest full of baseball cards I had.
Yeah, but if you'd all saved them, they wouldn't be worth that much. They're worth that much because you all got rid of them, and there's only like three left.
I wish everybody else did, and I did.
Well, but some people kept them, and some people who kept them are making the money off them.
But the people that
when
kept
you try
them
to make
money,
something a collectible, it's never going to be a collectible.
Didn't have them in a toy chest. Yeah. Is the other part of the equation.
Yeah,
you know. They had them like
their bike spokes.
Yeah, like if you did that with them, it didn't matter if you had like a rookie.
But
you know,
I literally had
Mark McGuire, rookie card.
I literally had a toy chest that was full of cards.
Do you even know what happened to them? Like, did you give them away? Did you burn them? Did
Mom
you throw them?
Did
think of the money.
Oh my God.
Just from those cards, you would be able to retire.
I don't know about retire.
Well,
but, yeah.
You wouldn't have to work. You wouldn't have to work as much as you did.
Yeah,
I had the whole 78 top set. I remember, and. What happened to those?
Well, who were rookies in 78?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that's the key.
Maybe Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker.
But if you had
that's the key, like, is who were the rookies the year
know.
That you had
Alan
the full
Mantle rookie cards?
Oh,
my dad and my uncles had a million Mantle rookie cards when they were kids.
Yeah, now if you have a guy like that, like a, you know, a transcendent Hall of Famer, it doesn't, you know, it can not doesn't have to be in pristine condition. But for you to make significant money off of cards, they have to be in perfect condition.
Well, I had a friend who had, you know, he had, I have all these cards, you know, I don't know what they're worth. But I go, okay, bring them over. So I got, you know, the various guides, and we went through. They were like, the whole thing was worth like a couple $100.
Yeah.
He was so disappointed.
And it wasn't even worth that because the guide cost is not what a dealer
or
somebody's
going to
give
it to you.
Right.
It's like the market value. Well, what's it worth to you? What are you going to give me?
Yeah. Whatever that guy will hand me. That's why I took the money
that's
in my pocket.
I heard Phil Castagnetti. Do you know who Phil Castagnetti is?
Yeah,
he's Everett. Sports world guy.
Yeah. Fisherman?
Castagnetti. I see what you did there.
I don't think you really
cast. He's got a place
a
in Saugus.
Well, you know, cast a pole, throw a net.
No, the big nets. You can cast the nets.
Cast them.
Yeah, right?
You do cast a net.
You
Thank
do?
You.
You cast a net?
There's a thing called a throw net. It's,
no, I've
it's
seen
got
those.
Built into it. And you,
but that's called casting?
Yeah, you cast the net.
Or maybe he's a Spanish dancer.
I thought casting was
cast
just
net.
Castanettis.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the Spanish. I went to one of those, Brockton High School.
Anyway, he was on... Mike Adams' show last week, and they had a Red Sox ring.
What are we talking
from
about?
2004? Look, market value.
Yeah.
And you know, we have Super Bowl rings.
Nice job, Eric.
Whoa. He said that this would retail for about $55,000.
Retail.
Yeah. So that's what someone would pay you for it, right?
Right.
Because it's not, we know
they're not worth.
They're not
doing
worth
a great
that.
Job, Eric.
So
the appraisal is not that.
Right. So it's interesting.
It's what,
to see what you could actually get. I was actually thinking, well, it's nice to know if I really come on.
Yeah, beauty
really
is
hard.
A,
hard
beauty
times.
Is in the eye of the beholder.
But a lot of those get pulled down too because they never reach the
or
value.
It says Perillo on it.
Well, no, this was a staff ring. He said it'll be worth a lot more if it were a player.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
He said if it happened, this is a staff ring, and he actually said. He said in the Red Sox, the first time around, they went way overboard. I think they made around 500 rings and everybody got them, you know, like ushers and parking attendants and everybody got them. Some of the other teams that were a little bit less would be worth more, which probably would be us because they didn't give them to just everybody.
Right.
You had to be, you know, a nobody like me.
I'm going to go up to see Bill. I'll be back.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Say hello.
Ask him all the tough questions.
No.
All right. Let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Leading off is Jeff from Vegas. Hey, Jeff, are you swimming?
Yes, he is.
I'm doing a little bit of swimming in money.
Yes, you are. And we're going to be swimming in lunch in the future because of it, right?
Tomorrow, right?
Yes, you are. I actually have to do some training later this week, but I'm serious. Lock it in next week after the Niners game. And as Andy says, that might be a challenge. They're plus 200 on the money line. Maybe just take a look at that later in the, you know, after, you know, this week, obviously.
The plus 200.
Plus 200, that means if the Niners, it's a way to hedge. If you're a huge New England fan, of course you want the Patriots to win, and, you know, amazing performance against the Texans, obviously. But just as an insurance play, should San Francisco upset New England, they're 5.5 points, the Patriots are favorites, you get, you know, 2-1. If
I like
$100, you win $200, just as a hedge.
I like
So you can't, no matter what, if disaster strikes, and although it is an NFC team, it wouldn't be that much of a disaster. You profit handsomely. So that's not too far.
Put a grand on it.
I hear you. Next
is
thing,
that a hedge?
NCAA,
is that a hedge, putting a grand on it?
Yeah, a dime, as they call it.
A dime.
Couple of points.
I hung out with Olivier from Virginia, and we saw the Eye Candy Show. He is a big-time international businessman on par with James Pettigrew.
Really? Good to know.
Oh, Olivier.
Then Olivier needs to send us more than waffles.
He's a bit of a freeloader, then.
Yeah, he's a very classy dude. Had a great time with him.
Nice.
Yes, he was tweeting out his escapades. Very excited.
Yeah, and we were he recommended having Kevin Collins join us next time, and I tweeted, as Lawyer Malloy once said, be careful what you wish for.
Oh, I
and
saw
the
that.
Lawyer tweeted back, you just might get it, which I thought was kind of neat.
I did see that. Lawyer did respond to that.
You know, at the end of the, Fred Kirschwell knows he produced Three Games to Glory. Be careful what you wish for at the end of Super Bowl 36 on the field with a confetti falling. You just might get it.
Right.
I don't think Fred remembers based on the look on his face right now.
I had no knowledge of that whatsoever.
Yeah, but you didn't do the DVD.
Actually, I didn't do the first
Good
one.
Good point.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
I thought you did.
Second and third.
Huh. Yeah. The ones that dropped
yeah,
off.
Yeah, so we talked to Drew Bledsoe, 2 weeks ago, and now Lawyer. So if Kevin were on the ball, he'd have the Hey Lawyer drop from Fred Kirsch.
Hey Lawyer.
Hey Lawyer, that one.
All right, Jeff, you're starting to annoy me. Let's go to Larry in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much. Patriots just best team in the AFC again. You know, same old, same old.
Yeah, man. I was just kind of mad because, everybody was, saying, well, it's mostly on the Texans, but they're not giving, some people were giving New England a little credit, but some people were just saying, oh, it's just the Texans. If they meet again, just like the Jets, they're going to get beat in the playoffs. And I'm looking at it like, that makes no sense because it's one thing to play a team in your division three times, than playing somebody that's not even in your division, only played you once. It makes no sense. How would they,
I mean, three of the hardest games that the Patriots had, other than the ones they lost, were against the division opponents.
Right, because you know each other.
Right.
Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I didn't get the feeling that the Texans were caught off guard by, what the Patriots did or this whole schematic, anything.
They were overwhelmed.
They were overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And to me, the way you could argue that it would be different the other time around, other than home field, which is factual, but is, the Wildcat, something they hadn't seen, and next time we're going to be ready for it. We got caught with our pants down. I didn't get the feeling they got caught with their pants down. I did get the feeling they were not prepared properly, but not in a schematic way. There were no tricks. I thought they just realized, whoa, that's what it takes to hang, and we can't
well,
hang.
Well, it's
that's,
interesting.
That's
and,
exactly
and Larry,
how I felt about it.
Stay on the line, Larry. But Frank writes in, this was an article on the Houston Texans website, and it's written by Nick Scurfield. It's a quote from Texans Antonio Smith.
Scurvy.
He said he had a feeling from the get-go on Monday night that the Patriots had a certain air about them, something the young Texans are perhaps still developing. Quote, I sensed it from the coin toss, Smith said. It was business straight up to them. Didn't hardly look at you, shook your hand firmly. No respect. That's how they came into this game. They'd done been here before. I'm a movie buff. It reminded me of that movie Troy when Achilles told Hector, now you know what you're dealing with. Ain't no pact between lions and men. That's exactly what it was like. No love. We coming in here to show you all who the big dogs is.
Yeah, and that's what I got the impression of Houston's reaction, and that's the reaction that I've really seen nationally. I don't get this whole people are saying Houston was bad. I think it's been the opposite. I think people have been downright gushing about how dominant the Patriots were,
yep.
And they should be. That's yep. That's the take I got of the game, and believe me, if I couldn't find something to nitpick, there ain't nothing to nitpick.
What do you think, Larry?
Well, the thing is, just like Andy said, the San Francisco game is where we're going to have to measure our, our unit. But to me, this game, these guys, they cojones didn't even drop. They still young. They
right.
They just stringed up a couple wins, but against elite quarterbacks, except Peyton. But Peyton was what? He was still
injured. Yeah, it was very early in the season.
And,
yeah.
Right.
Exactly. And when they went against Aaron Rodgers, who threw six touchdowns on
yep.
And people are not noticing that, when the Houston Texans go against elite quarterbacks, they're downright mediocre.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say they can't learn from this, grow from this.
To me, the problems that I thought Houston had on Monday night were far more offensive related than defensive. I think everybody expected the Patriots to move the football and score some points. It's 21-0 late in the third quarter. I think people would have thought if the Patriots have 21 points late in the third quarter, we're going to have a game.
Right.
But instead, they had a 21-point lead.
Or if people's found
the
out
Patriots
you punted
defense,
four times in a row?
Yeah. Right.
That's not good.
Fred was even able to admit that they punted four times in a row.
That's not what I admitted. I admitted I was worried, even though up 21-0,
he said, I have to admit,
they had to punt.
He said, I have to admit, they punted four times in a row.
It was part of one sentence that he cut me off on. So, you know, you can, you know.
I'm with you, Fred.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
That's who you want to align yourself with?
Well, he was listening for once.
Go ahead, Larry. Sorry.
No, but that's fine. But going into the game for San Francisco, it's going to be kind of like the Seahawks game because, you know, Kaepernick loves to run. So it's going to be up to our ends to keep contained because if not, then those balls are going to go over our head when he's scrambling. And that's what I feel like, you know.
Yep.
All right, guys.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks, Larry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a different attack because it's almost like Denver. It's almost like Tebow, only Kaepernick can throw.
Well, you wonder, you know, like, because I know the Patriots, they take the schedule and they do advance, you know, they have a, you know, one of the interns assigned to looking at teams
ahead.
Oh,
Tom Brady already said that he started on San Francisco before the Houston game.
Yeah. But I just wonder, like, at the beginning of the season, how the game plan, what they thought the game plan was going to be and how it's changed now that Kaepernick is the quarterback.
Well, that's part of the challenge. Yeah. I mean, you basically have a month that they've established whatever they're going to be and probably haven't really established it. They're probably in a growth period where you give him more to do every week and kind of expand his duties. Now, there are some similarities. I mean, they're going to throw short. You know, Alex Smith was no chump. He could run a little bit. He wasn't Kaepernick. I think Kaepernick is more like Cam Newton. He's kind of that long.
Well, I think he's got the confidence, too, and he just is not afraid to make mistakes.
Yeah, we'll see.
No.
Paul, you want to tell him about Mike Tyson?
Can I use it to? They all have a plan, Fred, until they get punched in the mouth, which is another reason why I still can't believe that I picked an upset. I said all these things last week and still didn't pick it right.
Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Guys, get your tickets ready for New Orleans. Overreaction Wednesday.
It's okay.
It's not overreacting when it's true.
You know, you have to celebrate these wins. What good is it if you wait until the end?
Unlike the team, I'm not doing it for 24 hours. I'm doing it right up till Sunday, buddy. That was fun, man. I mean, that was great. And the offense, hey, you know, what can you say? It's another jaw-dropping performance, but you got to look at that defense. And, you know, when the Patriots got stymied on offense and they had a punt those times, that was the opportunity for Houston to get back in the game. And part of it was Houston's inability and throwing up on themselves, but they made plays on third down, the Patriots defense, and they got off the field.
Yep.
Yeah. And the coverage was excellent for most of the night, I thought.
I get a lot of criticism because a lot of times I say, well, the other team dropped the ball here or the other team got a penalty there. I don't think was the case Monday night. I think it was the Patriots that did that. You know, they dictated the way the game was played, and they dominated. It was Patriots related, not Houston related.
Yep. And I was curious to get you guys' thoughts on, I don't know if you remember this, but at the end of the first half, Houston had the ball. It was like 2:20 left on the clock, and Kubiak called the play in, and they showed him on TV. And right after he called the play in, he looked at the clock and he said, "Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up," saying through his headset. And they panned to Schaub. Schaub's in the huddle calling the play, and the team breaks the huddle. And they're just, like, walking, okay? They're just taking their time. They go to Kubiak back on the sideline, and he's screaming, "Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up." And they don't get the playoff before the two-minute warning, okay? Mm. And it's like, where was the sense of urgency, you know, for them? And it was like, was the moment too big? You know, I don't know what it was, but it was like they were in a fog. And I'm like, I'm looking at the game, and I'm going, wow, does this team realize they're down by 3 touchdowns? Is it, you know, is this how they normally play? Because I don't see them every week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I said, wow. I said, that's, to me, that was like in the bag at that point. You know, I was like, these guys just, like I said, I don't know. Do you guys think it was a shell shock thing or what?
Well, even at 28-7, I thought that Kubiak kind of threw in the towel, you know, and yeah. I thought it was too soon, but I think he knew something that maybe we didn't, about his team that night.
I think he thought his team had thrown in the towel earlier and was just saying, okay, if you're not going to play, then you're not going to play.
Yeah. Right. Well, I didn't have any problem with the second half. Some of the stuff in the first half, I agree with Christian. I thought there was sort of a lack of urgency. I thought there was too many runs on second and long situations, which was my rant during the game.
You you should have heard him, Christian. He just wouldn't shut up.
Are you going to play to win the game, or are you going to sooner or later you'll learn that second and long is not a running down in the NFL.
What I can't stand, Christian,
the Patriots
and the
Toronto Woody.
Yeah, it's one of my real pet peeves, and this is why Andy gets so frustrated with me, because I do say it all the time.
I get frustrated because you were having an argument with Gary Kubiak from about 700 feet away.
I hate coaches that are afraid to win. I hate that. That's the number one thing I respect the most about Bill Belichick, is that he never plays to lose. He always
plays not to lose.
He always goes at it. Gary Kubiak played to lose the other night.
He did.
We're going to try to make it close. Yeah. We're just going to run the ball. We'll try to run clock here. We got to keep Brady over there. Brady's hot now. We got to make sure he stays over there. So we'll get a first down by throwing the ball, and then we're just going to run Arian Foster on second and 12. He must have done it four times in the first half.
So predictable. It was.
And
if it wasn't Wolfork, it was – you know,
and it was against the Patriots' base defense, too. It'd be one thing if you were trying to, you know, catch them in a sub-package the way the Patriots have run a lot this year. The Patriots, according to Mike Reese's numbers, were in their base defense like 50 out of 70 snaps.
Wow.
And they're just running into it. It's just ridiculous.
Well, when your base defense includes a guy like Gerard Make-A-Play-O, right, Fred?
Thank you.
I like that one.
That's Fred's new nickname for Gerard Mayo.
Nice, Fred.
You're welcome.
He actually calls him Gerard Make-A-Play-O, we can accept that.
Okay. All right, thanks, Christian. All right, let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
Good.
I'm glad y'all back on Tuesday, man. I couldn't wait to get on the phone. I had to talk to WEI, whatever that is.
I'm sorry, yeah. We hate to do that to you.
I just listened to him. I'm like, man, let me get off of here, because I couldn't get on no way. But loved the game. I was shell-shocked after the first quarter, and I'm just like Andy. I think we are the best team in the AFC, maybe in the NFL, if they keep playing like this. But one thing I can't understand, though, how does somebody catch a 63-yard touchdown pass on the next night be on injury reserve for the whole year?
I guess he hurt his ankle on that play.
As Paul likes to say, I'm not buying.
Yeah.
I'm not buying either, because I saw the Patriots Day thing after the game. He's a smiling, standing, talking. I can't see that.
Yeah.
Because he played the whole game.
Yeah. I believe it's called a golden parachute.
No, he didn't play the whole game, though. They did.
I don't buy that he was hurt. He may have twisted an ankle. He may have had a little boo-boo. Yeah. But I think Deion Branch is healthy now.
Right.
And they said, Dante, for everything you've done for us, for the good guy, the leadership. Remember Bill, how glowing he was about him in the preseason?
Right. Instead of cutting you.
Here's an extra three paychecks.
Right.
You might even get a playoff share out of it or whatever.
Right.
They're helping a guy out.
Yep.
Help a brother out.
And I'm glad about that.
Me too.
Yeah. I have no problem with that.
Nor should you, as long as it's not an issue, because he does count against the cap. But I can't think that an extra three game checks of minimum veteran salary matter. So, why shouldn't you? That's what, you know, we want loyalty and team and all that. This is part of that.
So do you think Branch helps more than he would?
I think Branch is more versatile, yeah. I think what you saw from Dante Stallworth was about all you could really expect from Dante Stallworth, even 5 years ago, never mind now.
And I think you saw it during the course of the game. He played a handful of snaps, and he went deep a few times, and he really never got open, including on the touchdown.
Right.
So I just don't think it's there anymore. He made a great play, and I agree with what Andy and Fred said.
I mean,
I think
Branch
it's nice
can back
to
up Welker.
A guy for that.
Branch can back up Lloyd inside out. You know, more variety of moves that are kind of, you know, routes that play into his game. I think he's a better fit.
I'm glad I got rid of Shanko, because he made Mallow look bad.
He did.
Yeah.
And that Shanko thing, I thought for sure they must have had a plan for him and keep him around.
What a waste.
Wasted the money, the signing bonus and the money, plus wasted that IR spot that you could have used somewhere else.
Right.
You know, what a terrible waste.
And getting back to San Francisco, it's going to be another beast with a different flavor, like everybody's saying. And Kaepernick, when he's running, he's more dangerous. He's like Cam Newton. I think he might be just a little bit faster than Cam, but he could throw also. And you can't get LaMichael James, the other running back, because Hunter's hurt. And then you got three receivers. Now, if we could cover them like we did with Chicago, they got pretty good receivers. But I can't understand which one's going to show up. When they play the Saints, they were a beast. But when they played the Rams and the Dolphins, I watched the Dolphins game, like they bowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
San Francisco did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, you know, thanks a lot, Eldridge. You know, the San Francisco 49ers, you know, they did well in the playoffs last year, but, you know, they weren't able to get back, you know, past the big dogs.
Well, and
on the big stage.
What he's saying is right this year, they've struggled against some of the little dogs.
Yeah.
You know, the Rams twice. You know, but that gets back to my whole thing. They are physical. They are very talented on defense. They're not a great football team. They're what poses for a good football team in the NFL this year.
Well, what sticks out with me with San Francisco is their offense doesn't score a lot of points, and therefore, because they're not really high-powered, they have to kick a lot of field goals. Well, last year, their field goal kicker set a record.
Right.
This year, their field goal kicker has been god-awful.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about the two close games. They lost and tied to the Rams because of their field goal kicker, who missed kicks in overtime. And last year, he made those.
Yep, that's a good point. Alvin's in Texas. Hey, Alvin.
Hey, how you doing, everybody?
What's up?
I'm pretty hyped up about the world that happened. I was like exactly Brent. A little, kind of little 1%, like, oh, man, I'm going to get those cameras. What happened? They hit their butt handle.
I don't understand a word you're saying. What are you under the covers or something?
No, this is the guy. This is the drug guy.
No, I know, but like you know.
No, what I'm saying that I was like feeling like dude. I mean, I thought they were gonna lose because it was 21-0. I was like, oh god.
You thought they were gonna lose at 21-0?
Well, I mean, you never know.
Boy, you make me look positive.
It's funny. 14-0. I thought the game was over at 14-0. I didn't think there was any chance. I didn't really think there was much reason to watch the rest of the game.
You and Chad Johnson.
You got to stop taking those downers and start taking Adderall or something. It'll let you focus a little bit more.
The second half was almost like a preseason game.
The Quaaludes make it, you know, depressed.
What I'm wondering, what happened to our two starting cornerbacks, Talib and...
Well, that's a good question.
Local reports say nothing to worry about. They're both fine. Now, those are just reports. They're not coming from the team.
Dennard, I certainly think is fine. I talked to him post-game. There was no hint of injury or issue. Didn't see Talib. But he, I had to think, was like a bruise.
Well, I saw Talib in the fourth quarter, still fully dressed, like on his feet, kind of like keeping loose. So that tells me that.
But I was just looking at the... I thought the way the play looked to me, like it looked like a bruise, like his hip hit, and it was like some sort of a pointer or
Well, it's funny because when he got hit, I was blogging and he walks up. I go, oh, it's not that bad. I go, but then again, I said that when I saw Bo Jackson get hurt. And then it turns out it was a hip injury, and I'm like, oh, geez, I shouldn't have said that.
Well, I thought that's why you said it.
No, I didn't
clear,
even.
It was pretty clear. It was a hip injury.
I didn't know it was
on it.
I didn't know it was a hip injury.
And he was like. Pointing at it or banging on it, I didn't get the feeling it was like a what's his name, the oft injured second year first or second round pick. Dowling, like torn labrum. It didn't seem like he was doing anything like wow something pulled it. It was more like ow, I get hit there.
What's his name, oft injured?
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Alvin.
Thanks, Alvin.
You know, I'm only teasing with you.
I don't think we should tell people that.
Yeah.
You know,
Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
No, that you.
I'm
good.
Hey, it's Melvin, the former volunteer.
Melvin, how long were you holding that out on us?
I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't mention that to you. I was back in 2005. I could have sworn I told you all, but yeah.
No.
You didn't think it was pertinent? Gerard Mayo was playing Arian Foster and you played with them and that was not pertinent last week?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel like I'm getting old. That was back when I was 18, so.
I mean, I know you don't want to walk around and be like, yeah, I walked on at Tennessee, but, you know, we're friends and family here. We talked a lot of times.
So
you could have brought it up.
Now, Melvin, if Andy and I go in the locker room and we talk to Gerard Mayo and we bring your name up, will he have heard of you?
That would be funny. It's been since 2005, so 9 times out of 10, I highly doubt it. You know,
Melvin, or do you have another name, anything like a...
I was just that fast scout running back. That was pretty good. That's my only name.
Okay, I'll say that too.
Scout running back. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I was pretty good. It was a couple of us back then. You know, Foster used to have some fumbling problems. Plus, Darrell Reeves was the big time running back at that time. And goodness Lord, I mean, he was a beast. If you all remember back then, but I think Foster, Montero Hardesty was playing for the Browns now. Yeah. He played all of them.
I remember Hardesty.
Nice.
Yeah, so he was pretty good. And
yeah, you definitely don't need to hold that stuff out on us. I mean, Andy tells us about his career at Tufts all the time.
Yeah, no, actually, I don't.
People that don't even listen to the show know that Paul played baseball at BU, you know, so, you know, don't be bashful.
Yeah, I forget, man. I'm sorry. But, yeah, he was like, so he always used to ask me, he was like, why do you like New England so much? I used to have my hat on all the time. He was like, And I just like, man, I like underdogs. I like, I like the feeling of a full team. He'll just kind of shrug and show like, hmm. I was like, well, you know, I guess that's just what I like. I don't know who. I never got a chance to figure out who his personal favorite team was back in the day, because I know when they went to scout them, they were actually looking for like a defensive end, and they just kind of found them, just like he kind of found himself in a dress and. Found himself.
More stuff that you didn't think was relevant to us. These are great stories.
As Adam Sandler said, something you could have brought to my attention yesterday.
I thought that baby. Yeah, he's been a funny story since high school. But he was a great guy, you know, him and Gerard Mayo. And like I said, Mayo, he was always a down-to-earth, nice guy, always helped me out. If I had questions, he was a lot, I would hate to say this, a lot thinner back then. It looked kind of bad that one time when he tried to chase the guy on the style. I was like, golly, man, you'd be fast today. You could always catch me.
Oh, yeah. He got caught off guard by Forsett's speed. Forsett's speed. He was like, all right, inside hip, inside. Whoa, where'd he go?
Yeah, he just ran right by him.
His cheeks always looked pretty chunky on the post game. So I was like, golly, they put too much weight on him or something.
Well, he's learned nutrition.
Made him a linebacker.
Yeah.
But the only thing I had to ask you all about today was, I guess the trend of the thing that I'm seeing, only very small nitpick, love the game. They dominated him off the line of scrimmage both ways. Brady stood in the pocket. Although people were around him, he stood in the pocket, delivered the football, did everything fine. But Ridley, do you all get a little nervous when he plays more of the top-notch defenses? Because now, you know, the more physical defenses, like the Texans, he fumbled back then with the Broncos, they ripped him.
Well, he hasn't fumbled for a long time. And, that was a bad fumble, especially the part of the field where he fumbled it. But, you know, it's going to happen once in a while. I'm not that worried, believe it or not.
Part of it, he had his back to the line of scrimmage.
Yes, he did.
And if you are hunched over the ball, leaned over the ball, you have more protection.
That exposes the ball.
He was in a position, and I'm guessing that's a teaching point this week, because I'm not sure we had another time when he did it that it really bit him in the ass.
Right.
And he has said, you know, I've been doing this since high school. Well, this is when it bit you in the ass. If you had been running with your shoulders squared down to the that's harder to strip.
You're right.
And that's a teaching point. But I don't think this was necessarily something that I go, oh, no, now I'm worried about him. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, to me, he has proven himself this year a capable
lead
back.
And I think he's run physically.
Yeah.
I mean,
he had a tough day the other day. There was not a lot there.
No.
And he kept pounding. And he kept getting up, and he kept pounding, and then in the end, he got that drive. Now, the game was over, but he still was around to get it, and I give him credit for that as we kept joking, every hit, ooh, he's going to be sore to him. Ooh, he's going to be sore.
They were hitting
hard. By the way, that's another issue. Your lead back is coming off a game where he got his ass whooped a little bit, and he's going to face a defense that is going to hit the hell out of him.
Holding back now.
The fumble, you know, like you say, like fumbles are going to happen. I agree with Andy. Fumbles are going to happen when the ball gets hit. When someone comes and does a Brandon Spikes and puts a helmet on the ball, those are the ones I can say, well, I'm not happy that he fumbled, but that's a tough one. This one wasn't one of those. This one, he got stripped, got taken out of his arms.
Yep.
And those are the ones that that's how he tends to lose them. Yeah. You know, he lost one along the sideline like that.
But he hasn't lost a ton.
Right.
No,
I mean,
he's
you
only
look
had,
at it. Compare him
all year,
and
right?
He's
noticed,
a top 10 back with top
right
10 carries.
In. He was right back in. So that means Bill has
proven
around.
So. He is not the same guy that there was an issue coming into the season and even midseason.
Right. He was
he's a different guy now.
He was right back
and
in.
And you compare his fumbles to other, I mean, what's he at now? He 200,
I think it's only three, right?
Yeah. But compare him to other 250-plus type carry backs, and I think he fares pretty well. Adrian Peterson, who I'm all for giving an MVP award to, fumbles a hell of a lot more than he does.
Yeah.
Now, he's also more explosive and has a hell of a lot more yards, too. But.
Right. All right, Melvin.
Right. No problem. I'll see you all later.
Okay.
Go Vols.
One more call before we take a break. John's calling all the way from Honolulu. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. Actually, not good morning. It's morning for me, but good afternoon for you guys. How's everyone doing?
We're
tremendous.
Doing great.
Hey, great. Thank you very much for having me, and I just want you to let you know that I'm going to be quick. Just want to praise you guys, praise the team for the great play, and I listen to you guys every morning driving to work. I'm in the Navy over here, originally from Providence, Rhode Island. So,
thank you for your service.
Yeah, it's great to hear you guys and be able to keep in touch with the New England community, and I was loving this game, and there's a lot of haters down here, but man, it feels good every week to wear my jersey and to wear it with pride. Even when they lose, I wear it with pride. So, great win this weekend. And I just think that down the stretch, the only threat that we're going to be looking at is possibly Denver Broncos. And I'm just looking positive ahead. So.
Okay. All right, John.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Have
thanks.
A great day.
Thanks.
Aloha.
Thanks for listening.
Good stuff from
in
John.
In the Navy all the way in Hawaii. All right. We got a ton of emails coming in. I want to get to those. I also wanted to talk a little bit about this Bountygate ruling that Tagliabue had and also the hearings. I don't know if we're going to have time to do all of that, but I definitely want to get to the emails. We'll do that right after this.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Welcome to Dunkin' Donuts.
I need some of Dunkin's delicious packaged coffee.
Sure. How many do you need?
One for everybody on my holiday shopping list.
Wow. So that's why you brought a wheelbarrow.
Give the gift everyone loves to get. Delicious Dunkin' Donuts packaged coffee. Get 2 pounds for just $12.99. Available only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'. Plus applicable taxes. Single pound sold at regular price. Offer excludes 8-ounce packages. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Cold Hard Football Facts presents A Christmas Wish by Carrie Byrne.
Santa, this is Carrie Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts. I'm really sorry to bug you again, but I was at the mall this weekend and I saw the cutest little puppy at the store. So I was wondering, in addition to all the other things that I asked for you, if you could please give me the puppy too. You know, I was looking at it. I looked at it closely. I looked at the correlations in my head and I was doing some coverage probabilities, some critical values, and, you know, some cross-sectional studies. And I understood that if there was a cumulative probability distribution function, that would likely be the perfect animal that you could deliver to me on Christmas Day. Thank you.
End of message.
All right. We love Carrie Byrne. Carrie's got his show on Wednesdays, so he'll be on it. 4 o'clock today, Cold Hard Football Facts. That was taken from EEI, I guess? Is that where the
Yeah, that's from The Big Show.
I'll tell you,
the
that's spot on.
Courtesy of 93.7.
Sounds just like him.
I could not tell if that guy called me that it was not Carrie Byrne.
You should try to get in touch with that guy and have him call the show so they can talk to each other back and forth.
That was pretty good. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. We got a lot coming in. Dave writes in, and he says, Patriots are disrespecting us thing is getting old. Apparently, if the Patriots throw the ball went up by 3+ TDs, it's disrespectful. If they run the same run play over and over against Miami, it's disrespectful. Well, here's a new one. I was listening to the Houston Sports Talk Radio Monday night after their team got thrashed, and the host actually said, when the Patriots run hurry-up offense when leading by 3 TDs late in the game, it's disrespectful. I guess the Patriots have to ask permission as to what play to call from now on. It's like a batter in baseball saying the pitcher is being disrespectful for striking him out all the time. I'm so sick of all these Patriots haters.
Wait a minute.
Preach it, Dave.
Where's Dave from?
508.
So he chose to listen to Houston post-game radio
That's
show.
That's okay. I like
knowing
it.
Knowing that he was going to try to find something that was going to get him worked up.
That's okay.
Can I ask a question
Here
about the Miami thing?
People are out of their mind.
No, the Miami thing, because it was Randy Starks and somebody else, I think, that said something about they ran the same play over again.
Yeah.
And it was disrespectful. Did you see these quotes? Did you not? You're not aware of these at all?
Mm-mm.
Fred, are you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the quotes? Because I read the quotes differently than they were being interpreted in Boston.
Not surprised about that.
No, I took it as. The defensive linemen for the Dolphins were ripping themselves for not being able to stop the same play over. They did nothing but run the same play over and over, and we couldn't stop it. It was disrespectful. Not that the Patriots were running it, that we couldn't stop. That's the way I took
it. But what was disrespectful?
We didn't even have enough self-respect to stop it.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of the way I took it. Now,
right.
I'm the only one in America that took it that way. Everybody in Boston said that it was a shot at the Patriots.
Yeah,
I don't see how you can possibly argue with the Patriots for running the same play over
right,
and over
right.
again.
Well, that's
what that's
everyone,
why I don't believe that they
right.
that's what they were saying.
That's what everyone was shocked about. I just heard the reaction to it. I didn't see or hear the actual quote. So, but Paul might be right. I mean, it does seem weird that you'd complain that the
right.
team would run the same
it makes
play
no
over
sense.
And over again.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
You know?
But the word choice there is what makes it weird.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to see if someone heard it.
To me, like, embarrassing. You know,
Strippers.
They ran the same play over
Get
and over again.
That's
it's embarrassing.
No. That was the quote. I read the quote, and he used the word disrespectful. I think he meant it the way Andy just said it.
It's a weird word choice.
To ourselves. Right.
That's why if somebody...
No, a lack of respect for ourselves. Right.
That's why if somebody heard it, maybe you might be able to get some context.
Yeah.
If you just see it on paper, he said disrespectful.
Yeah, that's a
I don't think
word
he
choice.
Used the right word. I think he meant it more as an indictment of himself and his teammates.
Right.
But... Everybody said that it was another example of people, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Peter,
I just have a bigger problem with the guy seeking out to annoy himself. What other reason did you, like, why are you listening to the post-game
loser team? You know I go to the Jets website
team?
Because we're terrible winners.
For the same reason.
I know.
Okay, well, that's weird.
It's called gloating.
I mean, are Gresh
exactly.
and Tangway that bad that you can't listen
no,
to their post-game
gloating.
Show?
No, it's called gloating. You want to gloat.
Is Adam that bad on the Sun Life post-game show that you can't just go to that and listen to that and gloat and have fun and say and mock the Texans and do everything you want to do?
That's part of the fun.
I've told you that many times. They take more pleasure
Who's they?
Sorry. A lot of Patriots fans, like Fred, gloat, take more pleasure in that aspect than the win.
I gloat after we beat teams like the Jets, who come in all, you know, braggadocio beforehand.
But did the Texans don't do that. It's like they're being held accountable for the hype that the media and analysts put upon
them.
I'll
give you that.
And I even think
they never said they're the best.
In fact,
defense.
We all talked coming in about
how
they're quiet.
Most people thought the Patriots were going to win the game.
Right.
But like it's like the Patriots held the fact that they had won 11 games against them.
Well, I wrote in the blog
how do you do that?
Before the blog,
this team is amazing.
Somebody wrote in, "Oh my God, everybody on the ESPN crew is picking the Texans." Then somebody else wrote in, "Come on. Half of them are picking the Patriots."
No, it was
more
actually
than
5-3.
Whatever.
It was five
and
for
I
the Patriots.
I actually changed that just to get the actual.
And one of the five was Tom Jackson.
Tom Jackson picked the Patriots.
He would pick the other team if at all possible, if he could conjure it up.
Unless he was trying to motivate the other team.
For crying out loud.
Peter in Melbourne. Hey, Tom Brady Day. It's 12-12-12. A lot of things going on at Patriots.com. Discounts in the pro shop. Free admission to the hall. Actually, that was last hour. But things to win on Twitter.
Come on. If you show up, they'll probably let you in.
So lots of stuff going
what
on.
What time can you get there?
12-12-12.
And we started at 12 because we're great.
Peter says, glorious win.
You did,
the defense has been really productive lately. Outside of the Buffalo game, the D has been very effective the second half of the season, producing three and outs and limiting drives by opponents. I guess that's why they call it midseason form. The offense played great. I like how they were able to start fast, falter, then pick it up again in the third quarter, which shows me that this will be a hard team to contain because Brady McDaniels will be able to adjust anything no matter what is thrown at them. It's funny to think that the most troubling defense the Patriots have faced this year was by a team that got blown out 58-0 during the weekend. Have a great show. Keep up the spectacular work. F the Jets. F Euculus for signing with the Yankees. I could care less. Euculus. I was happy when he left.
I would have said the same thing when he was on the Red Sox. F Euculus. I didn't like him.
Bobby from Connecticut says, the Patriots and Giants are still the best big game teams in the NFL. I hate to say it, but I feel a Super Bowl rematch coming. Giants blow out the 49ers, Packers, and Saints. Patriots blow out the Broncos, Texans, and Ravens on the decline. What do you guys think about that possibility?
I think it's a possibility. I mean, it's not a coincidence that you have the two quarterbacks.
I'm saying right now, I'm here to say right now, if the Patriots play the Giants in the Super Bowl, they will win. They will beat the Giants this time.
You said it the first two times, too.
I know, but I'm saying it right now, early.
It seems to be a common idea. Our circulation manager, Carol Hardy, actually said, you don't think we're going to play the Giants again, do you? Because I can't deal with losing to them again, she
Bring
said.
It on, I said.
So she is clearly
in the
mindset.
She has the inferiority complex going.
It's a great story. I mean, it's
yeah.
You know, the whole Coughlin kryptonite for Belichick and, you know, just
I'm
everything.
I'm just bored with covering the Giants.
Well, maybe they'll have something else. You know, they show up in black and they'll do some kind of a shtick.
They already did that.
Maybe they'll have something cool, letter jackets or something.
That's been tried.
And by the way, Brady loved them.
Loved the jackets?
Yeah. So you who weren't so sure, because he said, I love the jackets.
When?
I don't know, yesterday.
Oh. Gary
was really
Monday
cool.
Morning, yeah.
Gary
loved
them
because
Toronto.
They beat them.
No, he thought it was cool.
Gary from Toronto.
He comes from a university that had a tradition. He knows what traditions are and letter jackets and all that football was built upon.
I forgot.
I like letter jackets.
What?
I'll do it. The letter jacket we talked about on Sunday.
Oh, he claims he has a BU baseball letter jacket like that, and he claims he can still fit in it. I said, no way.
You mean like
button? He's going to bring it in. Yeah, he's going to button.
I'm not going to bring it in.
No, he's bringing it in. He's going to do it live on the air.
I'm not going to bring it in.
It's going to be Al Capone's vault. We're going to cover it live as he puts the jacket on and tries to button it.
I'll take a picture of myself.
He's going to have to.
It's a thing called Photoshop, you know. I mean.
Oh, yeah. No, I want it live.
Yeah, and you think there's a prayer in hell that I know how to use it, right?
No, Mark,
all right,
Mark,
come on
for you.
We'll do it live. Gary writes in from Toronto. On Monday night, John Gruden talked about how if the Texans played man coverage as opposed to zone, Brady would chew them up. Can you please elaborate on this and explain why Brady would feast on man-to-man? The next obvious question is, why did the Texans do that if it played into Brady's strengths? I can only assume that there must be an offsetting benefit to Houston if they played man. Please explain, since I consider myself weak on football strategy.
Well, you play a lot of man behind blitzing, behind sending extra rushers. That's part of your football strategy.
Yep.
And why he would beat it?
Yep.
Well, I mean, zone is, there's more reading involved. There's more an unknown. There's more coverages. Where, you know, where are the safeties? Where are the zone? You know, different things like that, how they're playing it, so you don't know where the bodies are. If they're playing man, you know where the bodies are. They're covering your receivers. And when your receiver's open, you hit him.
And I feel like Brady identifies the matchup that he thinks is most beneficial. And that's why I think people say if you play man against Brady, he'll identify Brady, James, or Aaron Hernandez for a touchdown.
Right.
You know, just to use the first touchdown for an example.
You know, that said, even in a team that plays man, if your guys can't get open or they're getting pressure on you because they're sending that extra guy.
Oh, yeah. The M.O. on the Patriots 2 years ago was that they needed a man beater. They needed Chad Johnson, somebody that could come and just beat man coverage.
Right.
Because you could take away Welker, you could take away Hernandez in man coverage.
And we haven't talked about him yet, but Brandon Lloyd beat Jonathan Joseph in man coverage a lot the other night. You know, and that's something that he hasn't really done a lot of this season. So that was a good matchup win. Andy's right. Houston pressures the quarterback. They send extra guys at the quarterback. That's what they do. I think that, you know, 21-0, I think what happened is you saw if the Patriots had 21 points in the first three quarters, and it was they scored in their first drive, then they punted twice and then scored, and then they punted three times and scored, I don't think people would look at it the same way. They would say Houston won some and the Patriots won some, right? And methodically, the Patriots' defense kept Houston down, and that's how they had the 21-0 lead. I don't really look at it much differently. The Patriots scored the first three times and didn't score the next four times. So I think that their plan wasn't a terrible plan. I think they won some and the Patriots won some. You know, the touchdown to Stallworth was man coverage, and they had good man coverage, and Stallworth just made a better play.
Yep.
And you know, I just think that sometimes, why would you do that if Brady, you know, Brady's real? You think if you just sit back and play zone that Brady's not going to pick that apart too?
Right.
You know, there's no coverage that stops Tom Brady.
How many
Brady.
Times have teams elected not to get pressure on Brady and put extra guys in coverage, and he still ripped them
to
apart?
To me, there's nothing that Brady picks apart more than the Tampa 2.
Right. And that is not a pressure.
That's not a pressure defense. Yeah. It's a four-man front with basically seven guys dropping in coverage. You need a big athletic linebacker like Brian Urlacher to do it. Derek Brooks used to be good at it in Tampa Bay. Not a lot of teams have that. I think Brady picks that apart routinely.
John and Lynn writes in a little limerick. He says, I don't think I can remember the last Pats loss in December, but one thing I do know, 'twas a long time ago. Like when Paul could still see his member.
Yet he claims he can still fit in his letter jacket.
And Paul get up and left.
He did. He needed another Diet Coke bottle. He had polished off one. He needs another. The man has such a problem.
The other
he
one
couldn't
had less
find
than
cups.
Half.
There was a cup full of pens and pencils, and he was going to take all the pens and pencils out of the cup.
Yeah,
drink
there's all dust in it.
I know, but you were considering. I was like,
well, not until I saw the cup.
And they're pens and pencils that, like, Steve Yossi may have chewed on and then put back in the cup, and just like disgusting human beings.
I wouldn't
beings.
Have thought of that.
But anyway, in this studio,
Steve Yossi, check.
Oh yeah, by the way, strippers causing trouble again. Tom Curran wants to fight all of us.
Tell him it was just a joke about him having multiple personalities.
Right.
Nothing I haven't said to his face.
That leads to being
our new
violent.
Thing on yeah. Our new thing on the pregame social is doing the sprinkler offense on all the media guys.
When we take a shot at somebody like Boston Globe, check.
And Adam goes, okay, Globe, check.
John McClain,
check.
Check.
What was your issue with him?
I don't know. We just mocked him for something.
Well, we should have just stopped the show right there and gone home because he said, well, the Patriots are going to win the game.
Yeah, he did. Just he's flippantly.
Like, really?
Yeah, they don't have an answer.
I go, usually we wait till the end to get the prediction from the writer, but okay.
Because McClain's a pretty big ball washer.
Sweatpant wearer?
Yeah, I mean, he's like.
Was he serious?
He's on the payroll.
Yeah,
he's
on
the payroll down there.
Yeah.
And then I think he thinks that Houston's going to win the rematch based on the way he.
Yeah, he did kind of sound like that, too.
Okay.
We'll see.
Not sure if he changed his mind after the ass-kicking, but we'll see.
Josh in Sydney writes in, hey, guys, and Eric, love the show. Gets me through the long drive to work, and I never miss it. Very impressed with the game. Patriots were consistent, especially on D. A few quick questions. Firstly, who would you rate as your Patriots defensive MVP this year? I have a hard time choosing between Big Vince and Mayo. Both have had a strong year.
Me too. Mm. I would agree. I mean, agree with those, and I'd be neck and neck.
I would go Vince, but yeah, it's a close
I would
one.
Say, I would probably say Mayo, only because some of the plays he's made are more They're uncharacteristic. We've seen what Will Fork can do over the years.
Well, that's you know? Part of the problem. I would give, like, if I'm doing it for Will Fork, he's as good as he ever was, I think, and it's kind of a career achievement. If I'm giving it to Mayo, it's for breaking out and becoming a play, you know, make a play-o and, right. and growing. So, but I think I'm going to do a Peter King and split my vote half and half for Mayo. And
okay,
Will
that's
Fork.
Fair. Secondly,
me. Don't do that.
How do you see the running back position playing out next year? I see Ridley as a lock and Bolden very likely as a backup big running back, but the third down smaller back role seems crowded with Vereen, Woodhead, and possibly Demps. How many of them do you see sticking around next year?
I think Vereen will be here. Ridley will be here. I think there's probably a good chance Bolden's here. I don't know about Woodhead, and I don't know about Demps. And if Demps is here, he's not really probably going to be a running back. He's going to be here as your return specialist.
Yeah.
Although if they get rid of kickoffs, we don't need him anymore.
And by the way, Eric is here. Eric came from Belichick. Mm-hmm. Anything, any news?
Well, officially, they've re-signed Deion Branch.
So that's
official. That was the news of the press conference. And
Tom Brady didn't know anything about Deion.
No.
Despite the fact that I'm sure he had just left a meeting with Deion.
No, despite the fact that the person who asked the question didn't bring up the name.
No,
Deion
I know
or
that.
Branch.
Wow.
So
Brady getting
QB's
himself
full
in
of
trouble.
It. On that one, but no, he Bill was perturbed that someone even asked a question about Deion Branch after it had been announced that he was re-signed. You know, like what does he bring to the table? Same thing he brought before. That was his answer.
Well,
you know,
okay.
Guy with some experience who can help us out. Of course, the person didn't have the stones to say, "Well, why'd you cut him then in the first place?"
I'm a little on Bill's side.
A little on Bill's side, but also.
You got to ask a follow-up then.
Ask the right question.
Yeah.
You know, why did you cut him? Was he hurt? Was this an injury thing
exactly.
where he had to get healthy?
I'm saying
you know,
based on that question, I'm on Bill's side with
right.
the answer.
Right.
What
Who
does he bring
it?
To the – it wasn't you.
Oh,
was
one
it?
Of, no. Come on now.
We know it wasn't him.
That's true, too.
It was one of the. It was one of the slappy TV guys.
Slappy TV guy?
Check.
That's a broad umbrella. Brian in Essex, Vermont. Couple.
By the way, speaking of slappy TV guys.
From Providence. I should
no.
specify.
No,
that's who asked the question.
Yeah, but Rick Riley.
My God. Providence? Oh, by the way, we had a John from Honolulu.
We're now on a second tangent.
We had a John from Honolulu that called in. He was in the Navy, but he's from Providence. But he's stationed in Honolulu.
Well, thank you
right
for,
up your
Thank
alley.
You for your service.
Right. We're wondering
now,
if you knew
now back to your tangent.
Well, I just wanted to rip Rick Riley for asking Tom Brady and everybody who should be the MVP. Logan Mankins, if you had an MVP vote, who would it be for? And Mankins goes,
Tom Brady.
Brady, have you seen him play? And Rick Riley looks down and writes down like he's, he wrote Brady.
Like, no,
what are you doing?
Even,
this is stupid.
I think he even said, oh, yeah?
Yeah, like that.
Like, really?
And that
like
might have been surprised. When Mankins said, have you seen him play?
They were talking about it all morning on DNC, and they kept referring to Adrian Peterson as AP. And I just wanted to call in and say it's AD.
Well, but AP has become
no,
acceptable.
No, I know, but
even though it's
it
wrong.
Needs to be corrected.
I know.
Scott Hansen was calling him
the
AD.
The bigger issue is Rick Riley makes like $1 million a year or three, some ridiculous amount of money to ask stupid-ass questions. And in the post game, he asked Bill, you know, is there anybody more valuable than Tom Brady? Like with this loud, overbearing voice. And then afterwards, he was like, well, a coach doesn't like it when you put him on the spot or something. Like he had this
he goes,
like, big ball swagger.
He gets up right as soon as Bill leaves. He gets up. He goes, doesn't he ever smile? But he doesn't like it when he's put on the spot.
God. Like, I don't know. Haven't you ever covered Bill Belichick? He's been the best coach in the game for a decade. You might know. He doesn't really smile.
I looked at Andy. I go, yeah, no one's ever asked him if he thought Brady was valuable before. That was really cutting edge
to
stuff.
Which I said, don't worry. He had it first on Twitter.
did you all say this out loud?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
About from here to Paul away.
and then I looked at Andy. I go, Rick Riley?
Check. But, I mean, I said to Paul, that's a good story if you go in the Houston locker room and get somebody over there to say, well, I think it's pretty clear it's Tom Brady. Did you see what he did to us out there tonight? Getting his teammates to say he's the MVP when he's coming off a great game during a great season is stupid waste of time. You're wasting ESPN's time and money.
Or find out the people who vote for that. I mean, who votes for MVP?
Well, that's all
the
media
voters.
Guys.
So ask the media guys who you know.
But, well,
who votes for it? The voters.
No, the AP. It's the AP. The 50 guys in the AP.
No, I know.
Pearl football. Yeah. Well, whatever. It's I don't know.
Anyways.
What's the
no,
association?
It's the AD, Paul.
Right.
You're getting
it
wrong.
I don't
want to
get into that.
Scott
whole
Hansen
MVP
was calling
story.
Him AD, by the way, on Red Zone Channel.
Well, he knows what he's talking
Good for
about.
Him.
As does strippers.
All day.
Brian in Essex, Vermont. A couple questions. Do you think we may be shortchanging this defense a bit? Granted, I don't think that type of defensive feat will be a constant moving forward. However, given that since the addition of Tlaib, we've seen improvement in the secondary each and every game, is it possible that we're looking at something close, not exactly as dominant, but close to where the defense will be performing from now on. The defensive comparisons pre-Tlaib and post-Tlaib are pretty amazing, going from a 90 opposing QB rating to something like 60 to 70. That's pretty impressive turnaround.
Right.
My other question is, I heard Gronkowski is attempting to practice this week. Thoughts? Do you think they might be rushing him, or is it possible that the break was simply a fracture or something less severe than a clean break? And to Eric, so much for the end of the Patriots season starting Monday, eh?
Okay.
You said the season was ending Monday?
Well, hold on. Let me
he really
let me take these one at a time. First of all, the break was serious enough that it required surgery.
Right.
So
we'll get to that.
And yes, it was a fracture and a break.
Yeah.
A fracture is a break, and a break is a fracture. We've gone down this road before.
Seriously.
Emailer, check.
Yeah, on Rook's show when we do our picks on Thursday.
This is apparently when Eric says all the good stuff. Evan, on Rook's
yeah,
show.
Yeah, he's holding on.
That's when I have time to talk. That's why.
Oh.
PFW in progress? Check. No, my rationale was that, as I was saying all week, I thought Houston was the better team. I thought that their defense was more capable of limiting
their
offense.
I'm not ripping your pick.
Right.
I made the same one.
So then I said, I think what's going to happen is New England is going to lose like 30 to 28, I think was my score. And that would solidify the number one seed for Houston. But New England would advance to the AFC title game at Houston where they would lose. So essentially,
the season wasn't ending.
I said, for all intents and purposes, their season is going to end on Monday because when they lose, they're going to have to go to Houston and play, and that's when that's where their season's going to end. So yeah. I said, essentially, they lose on Monday night.
I thought, based on the email, that he was, in other words, they're going to lose this game, and it's all going to unravel, and they're never going to be the same. They're going to stumble and then get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. The way that the email had made it sound.
Right, they're going to collapse.
Because I thought they were going to lose the game. I thought Houston was going to pull an upset. But I didn't think it was going to change a thing in terms of my long-term view. I still would consider the Patriots one of the favorites in the AFC. Win, lose, or draw Monday night. Now I think more strongly about them on the positive side based on their performance.
Paulie in L.A. says, when are you going, Fred, he says, when are you going to rub Danny Woodhead in Paul and Annie's face after they wanted to get rid of him at the beginning of the season? Just saying.
When he does something.
He fumbled?
Oh, God, when he does something.
Wait.
Fred, he's been, like, invisible for a month.
Well, he fumbled. I thought that was visible.
Oh, you guys are unbelievable.
I didn't see Shane Vereen fumble at the end of his big
play. Very stubborn. Very stubborn.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Paul's getting some stats here.
Brooklyn.
Hold on.
I'm sorry.
I saw him
I'm
pick
sorry.
Up some
he, was, he wasn't invisible. He had one carry for 4 yards.
I saw him pick up some nice blitzes.
I also saw him whiff on Whitney Merciless and almost got Tom Brady killed.
He did whiff.
The whiff.
See, that's the difference is Andy and I only see the bad things, and you and the little fanboys only see the good things.
Okay. Well, as long as
so
you
somewhere
admit
in
you
the
only
middle,
see the bad things.
Somewhere
I see
in the middle
everything.
Is the
I'm
truth.
Not aligning myself with Paul.
Yeah.
I see everything. I'm
somewhere
objective.
In the middle was the truth.
Okay.
But he has, I mean, statistically, he's done very little over the last several weeks.
Somewhere in the middle, he's a serviceable change of option back.
Thank you.
Who's
now
played
we're in,
better?
We're in total agreement.
Who's
now.
Played better over the last 6 weeks, him or Vereen?
Vereen.
Okay, thank you. So he's a backup to your change of pace back.
And I think Vereen's been getting more chances
so
lately.
But I think the way
yes, why? Okay. Why? That's, isn't this a meritocracy?
Well, I think
isn't this a meritocracy?
I think the upside for Vereen is way higher than Woodhead.
Because he's
no
better.
Doubt about it.
He's better.
Well, that's what I mean.
Okay, he's better.
But
just say he's better.
But
it's simple.
But this is the classic case of by saying Vereen's good, I'm saying Woodhead's not. And
no, most well, most teams don't carry backup change
no,
of pace backs.
But now you've made him the fourth best running back.
But until Vereen gets to that point,
but
we
now
need
we're,
Woodhead.
But now
point?
We're. But now
you've
we're
already
okay.
said he's at the point where over a 6 week span or whatever, he's been the better player.
I still want Woodhead on my team right now.
That's
of
fine.
Of course you do. You love him.
No, I want
but
Woodhead.
It's not production based.
I don't want to get rid of Woodhead.
I'm fine with getting rid of him.
Next year, I have no problem getting rid
if
of him.
If you're
going right
to go production based, he's one or two plays a game, and that's his role, and I think that's a tough role to maintain in the NFL. He's a diminishing returns kind of guy.
And I like the way you just put it. He's a serviceable change of pace back.
Right.
Now, backup change of pace.
Don't tell
back.
Me that the majority of Patriots fans don't think more of him than that.
When they wear his jersey. Because you don't buy a jersey of a serviceable change of pace back.
No.
You think he's more than that. Or you have other reasons.
Brooklyn Matt says, Fred, you told a caller to stop taking Quaaludes because they made him sound depressed. You're wrong. And I can verify that using Boston references around Christmas of 85, 84, I was up in Boston for a Northeastern party. It was swanky townhouse owned by Mr. Rogers' daughter. Yes, that Mr. Rogers. Anyway, I took a Quaalude and snuck underneath the coffee table in the middle of the crowded living room. All I can remember from the rest of the night was feeling very relaxed whilst laying in my little makeshift fort under the table and looking at all the people's legs who were milling around the living room. Now, Fred, don't Quaaludes sound more like having intoxicated fun than being depressant? Actually, that's kind of what Alvin sounded like.
Wait, you were laying under a coffee table?
Right.
Is there a special meeting today? What's the special meeting today? For the
Something
league?
Going on in Dallas.
Oh, yeah, there was an owner's meeting, a special owner's meeting.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
It felt like going to Dallas.
Jerry said, why don't y'all come over the holidays?
Previously unscheduled special meeting?
That's the vibe I got.
The term special would seem to be that, yeah, unexpected.
Hmm. Chad Jackson was a special pick.
VIP strippers.
Unexpected how bad he
Speaking
did.
Of strippers, he says, I always watch SNY Jets postgame when they lose. Even when we beat them, I chose to see the Jets melt down over the Patriots postgame.
You guys are all out of your mind.
Oh, I remember last year.
Now, unless you just don't like Steve Burton and you change over because you're not comfortable watching that.
And you know what? Nah, never mind.
What, Paul? Go ahead.
Check.
Paul's all-access host. Check.
Patrick in Houston
that one into the ground.
Says it's hard being a Patriots fan in Houston because the bandwagon fans tend to laugh at our records. So when the Patriots beat the brakes off the Houston, hopefully the media coin road to the ring will disappear. I guess they've got that there.
Oh.
Road to the ring. I went to the game Monday night in Boston first time, and I was so glad to see the defense break out and our offense play close to our full potential. I sat in section 113, front row, and can say that our stadium and fans have nothing on the 12th man of Gillette. If we continue to fire on all cylinders, do you see anyone that could be a threat to us, even if we do not secure home field throughout the playoffs?
Yes, everybody.
Everybody.
I don't think everybody, but I think Denver
certainly.
And Houston.
I think they could lose to Baltimore, lose to Denver, lose to Houston.
I haven't, you know, thrown away my pledge to not take every game.
Well, that's how I think they can beat anybody, and I think they could lose to any of them.
Well, I'm as thrilled.
I can
as
say that about any team in the league, though. Right now, any playoff team.
I'm as thrilled.
You know
as
why? Because there's a 4-way tie for the number 2 slot in the Wilson-Hart Power Index. Everything's all bunched up. They're all good. No one's great.
But I think the Patriots are starting to separate themselves.
Well, the difference is, I give Denver and the New England credit, the New England, for winning, just winning. You know, going on a roll, taking care of business. That's what you got to do when you're good.
But Houston, I would put in that same category. Monday night, notwithstanding, they're 11-2.
That was a big one, though.
No, I understand that, but
that was a big one that they laid an egg.
Well, that's why I agree with what Fred said. I think the Patriots are sort of separating themselves a little bit. They're stepping forward, sort of take note. They're establishing themselves
without
as
Gronk,
right?
The second most important person on the offense.
Like how they dominated the Dolphins, yeah.
Without Gronk, Dave in Milwaukee.
He thinks they dominated the Dolphins. I know.
He
doesn't even get it.
It's kind of like
you can mock him to his face, and he doesn't.
To this very second, he thinks they really did beat Baltimore this year.
Right.
Oh, they did. The refs took it away from them.
How about Houston?
Whatever. But that's not what you think. You think they actually won the game.
In my mind, they do. You create your own reality.
He has his own standings in his head.
Thank you. You create your own reality.
So they've won five Super Bowls?
Yeah. David Milwaukee, I was listening to ESPN Radio last night. One of the guest hosts on Coach and Company,
Adam,
I believe was the show, suggested that the Texans coaching staff didn't show their full hand on Monday night.
I think that's laughable.
He said the Texans probably expect to play the Patriots in the playoffs and want to be able to surprise the Patriots in that event. Do you think there's any truth to that?
Zero.
Also, for the first time in probably
How's
4 years, I feel like the defense stepped up. I've always been curious as to how the Patriots' D would perform without Chung at safety, and I would personally put him up there with Dowling and Jackson as the biggest busts of Bill's drafts.
Wow.
I'm so happy that we are blitzing more now.
No.
I don't exactly know why it took the acquisition of Tlaib in order to do so, but I'm not going to complain. They actually blitzed more once Tlaib was off the field than when he was on the field.
Right? Well, in this game.
Yeah. In this game, he's right that the blitzing started when Tlaib came. I think it was coincidental that Tlaib came. Andy and I talked about this a little bit for our trash talk for the PFW TV show. I just think they're playing better football, and they've had bigger leads, and that allows you to be more aggressive. I think it's as simple as that. When you're up 4 touchdowns, all bets are off.
That's the problem. I saw Greg Bedard. He had some blitzing percentages in 2011 versus now and 2011, and then at some point he did it, from December to the playoffs, and came up with the conclusion that they blitzed a lot more, and then all of a sudden they got to the Super Bowl and it kind of fell in half. But it's all circumstantial. I mean, you get to the Broncos game, and you blew them out.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. You have to look at it circumstance
now,
by circumstance.
Maybe he has the numbers, and it didn't fall off against the Ravens. But I don't remember them blitzing a ton
against the Ravens. Yeah.
Now I remember them absolutely torturing Tebow in the playoff game.
Right.
Because they said, "I know this
guy
can't
throw." They
could
do whatever they wanted. Right. Right. I mean, it's almost every. So you have to. It's really hard
now,
to
I respect. I know that Greg.
You have to look at every situation.
And I know that Greg does the numbers on that. And maybe, my memory is wrong. Maybe they did send a lot of blitzers after Baltimore, after Flacco. But I just thought they got pressure on him. There's no doubt about that. Is this some poor doctor or trainer for the Redskins that's standing in front of a microphone? It looks like he's never been there in his life.
Conferring with his notes.
Or is that just the guy that's mic check, one, two.
Then why did they go to him? I don't know. Mike from Ottawa writes, and I told people Tlaib would make a big difference. He made several differences. One, now McCourty moved to safety and solidified it. Two, moving Arrington to the slot where he clearly is a better fit. And three, linebackers are freed. Before, I felt the linebackers were handcuffed by the inept secondary. Now they're making plays, since the secondary remake is no coincidence. And here's a mini rant, which also relates to Manning's sympathy for the MVP. I think it's pathetic how people consider this Denver the second-best team in the league. It's debatable they are even an elite team. Jesus, did you know Denver's best win is against the overrated Bengals and Steelers? They lost to the Falcons, Patriots, and Houston. Does this change your mind about them? If not, fine. Here's another one. These guys were a playoff team last year with Tebow. So all these people pretending how Manning changed that organization, I simply don't buy it. I think it's nothing more than sympathy. Denver is not that good, and if we see them in the playoffs, I would be going into it more confident than 70% of the other playoff contending teams. It would be an easy, easy game. That's Mike from Ottawa.
I like his passion.
I like his passion. I don't share his enthusiasm for that particular rant, though.
I don't either.
I think Peyton Manning is worthy of being respected in the playoffs.
Sure.
I would rather play the Colts. I'd rather play Cincinnati if Cincinnati ends up getting in.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather play Baltimore, because I think Baltimore's in ruins the way their defense.
Some people say they may not win another game.
I think Houston's better than Denver. Well,
Baltimore.
Baltimore has issues. When you start firing coordinators, you have issues.
Yeah, that was weird.
Baltimore's a team that forever has tried to keep the score down and play that way, and right now they're all out, so they can't keep the score down.
I agree with his Tlaib assessment in terms of how the dominoes fell, but I think it's the idea of Tlaib more than the performance. Bill acquired a guy that he said, this is a starting corner. This is a guy I'm going to make one of my starting corners. That allowed McCourty to move. That allowed Arrington to move. That allowed everything else. I don't think he's played all that well. So, yes, he's responsible in some way because he arrived, but he hasn't, quote-unquote, arrived as a playmaker on the field.
He's been tested really yet. I don't think, we can tell.
I don't think he's played very well.
Yeah. I would wonder, and it's a very slight change, and maybe it would make all the difference in the world. If they didn't acquire Tlaib and they just said, we're going to go with McCourty and Dennard at corner, Gregory and Chung at safety, and we're going to keep Arrington as that slot guy. So the only change basically is Chung for McCourty, and McCourty takes over for Tlaib. And you played the same way, because I think they have asked Tlaib to play a lot of man coverage single. I thought he singled up Andre Johnson the other night. I wonder how much different it would look.
Yeah, I think it would look different because I think McCourty had become a head confidence issue.
Of Chung? I mean, he comes in and has a face mask. I mean, that's what I remember him from.
Well, they all
Monday
wore
night.
Face masks.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what's going on with Chung, and
he's not suited for today's game.
One of the coaches walked through the locker room and gave him a dirty look.
Was it his position coach?
We're now judging
looks. I'm not saying who.
What is wrong with you?
What? It was an open locker room time.
Where did you come up with that?
Yeah, but
I saw it.
You
know what he was doing?
He was giving him a dirty look, sending a message.
I don't know.
Well, then you shouldn't bring it up.
Okay.
That's irresponsible and inappropriate.
I mean, unless you happen to bump into the guy and say, well, what was that look all about? And he said, ugh. He's not showing up to meetings.
Yeah,
then that's different. You could relay a story. He's walking through the locker room. He gave him a
All listeners, please strike the previous sentence from the record.
I don't know. Tammy from New York writes in, hey, man of PFW
it's gonna get cut
and
tomorrow.
Andy.
That's the Kirsch luck.
Hey, Tam.
Haven't written in a while, but let me start off by saying, what a win.
Wow.
But then she has question mark exclamation point, so I don't know where the question is.
Well, it's almost unbelievable how great it was.
What a win?
Yeah, like okay. No one expected the blowout.
What's the problem?
You were mentally prepared to lose.
I hope we would win, but I didn't think we would blow out the Letterman-wearing Texans. It was a great game
Load
all around,
out.
But I'm most especially proud of our defense because I didn't think they had that in them. I'm stunned. This two-game stretch was going to be their toughest, and I thought they would come out of it 1-1, but now I'm thinking they may win both of them. What say you guys?
1-1.
You still say 1-1.
Yeah.
You're going to be picking
I say 2-0, but I did think going into the season I had Denver and Baltimore. I figured they'd split, and they did, and contrary to Fred's opinion, and San Francisco-Houston, I thought they'd split.
On an unrelated note, I heard Alvin from Texas on EEI yesterday, and I'm convinced he was high off his mind. It was hilarious. Right. Anyway, great work. So all our callers are calling EEI now?
They should. Well, they may have called EEI first.
Seems to be
you know.
The trend.
Well, it might have also been because it was Tuesday, and they didn't have us to listen to.
Yeah, they didn't have us. But especially like Alvin's in
they
Texas.
They should identify themselves as PFW in Progress listeners.
That would be
call.
Nice.
You
that
know?
Would be nice.
Well, normally I'd be listening to PFW in Progress right now, but you guys are...
Does Melvin qualify now as a celebrity caller? If he can get a picture at Tennessee with like him and Mayo and Foster from back in the day and autograph it. Melvin, send that photo in. You'll be the first on our celebrity wall.
Melvin,
we should also point out.
I did see Marky Mark.
Well, I wanted to point out that you dropped the ball.
Yeah.
You did.
I saw him, but, you know, he started talking about the game. So,
perfect.
I didn't want to say, hey, have you ever listened? So
we talk about
right.
the game all the time on PFW in Progress.
I didn't feel it was right. But
awkward.
It's just what we do.
I gotta get him to send something in.
You know,
should.
Give him a little love.
And his buddy
you know, the show that you listen to all the time, right?
Yeah. That'd be good.
Hi, this is Marky Mark.
And maybe Rondo,
I
too.
I listen to
this fun bunch.
What was the deal with Rondo?
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. It's like they walked him down the sideline just to show that he was here.
He was. He had a field visit, I think, at halftime or something like that.
But what does that mean?
He goes down to the – they have clients from up in the premium seats.
Who's
that,
they?
Marketing?
Yes. Premium seating. We'll bring people down to visit the field and hang out.
So they just want him to be on the big board and show
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, we have but celebs at our games, too.
I heard he insisted on handing Matt Light the mic because he wanted an assist.
Oh, there you go.
Well done.
The best part was I pointed out on the headset because he was wearing a Welker jersey and he kind of blended in a little bit.
Was he wearing a Welker jersey or was he given a Welker jersey?
I don't know that. But
I think he was given a
Welker. So I was like, oh, like Rondo's down here, whatever. So they're shooting him, like walking along, slapping fives. And I was like, you guys might want to pan a little left. Is Chris Wilcox is right behind him. And they all had no clue who
I didn't
Chris
know
Wilcox
that either.
Was.
I don't either.
No, I don't.
He plays for the Celtics.
Oh. All right.
Oh, that.
I couldn't believe Paul didn't know.
He's a hustle guy. I figured Paul.
I know who he is now when he's talking about it. I didn't.
Chad writes in from Georgia. Hey, did any of you guys hear the comment that John Gruden made about Tom Brady? If I recall, he said that Tom Brady could be the best QB in the league.
Ever.
Then he corrected himself and said that he was the best quarterback that has ever played in the NFL. Now I work with a bunch of idiotic Falcons fans. And they said that I shouldn't read too much into John Gruden's comment because he says that about every QB on Monday night.
That's
pretty
true.
Much. Yeah,
I think
he does.
I already think TB12 is the best QB who ever played the game. What do you guys think? And it's at Chad F. Martin if you want to follow him.
Gruden did say that. Best ever.
But he's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's
the first guy that, like, you know, I always get the bloggers complaining that, you know, he's biased, he hates us. This is the first time bloggers complain because he loves everybody too much.
I tell you,
it's annoying.
The way I judge that is if I were to pick a fantasy team like all time, who would my quarterback be? I would pick John Elway still. I think he was all around. I think he's probably the best quarterback that's ever played. He could throw.
I got to think Aaron Rodgers is in the mix if you run, say it that way.
Yeah, fantasy-wise is not necessarily the same as the best, but I understand your point. Elway, I've always
like if I were drafting a team of all-time greats, my first quarterback that I would want leading my team would be John Elway.
We're going to get a slew of emails now about how before Terrell Davis, he had more interceptions than touchdowns or something.
Yeah, because he had to throw so much. Yeah, he didn't have a running game.
And I don't care about that crap.
I feel it. It's coming.
Errors change and priorities change and things are different.
I feel it.
There's emphasis on different things. Brady's certainly in a small handful of the best ever.
Sure. And he's got a big hand.
Colleen in Texas writes in, by the way.
Colleen?
Yeah, Colleen.
Like,
in Texas.
My house is now Colleen?
You sure it's not Stephen Colleen?
Isn't he in Colleen, Texas?
K-I-L-L-E-E-N.
Texas.
Yeah, isn't it Steve from Colleen?
Oh, yeah, it's Steve. loving the show.
Fred Kirsch?
Check. Loving the show and move in. Loving the show and the move in getting Branch back yet again. It's a move that just makes sense. As far as Eric and no lunch for the PFW crew and JRB broadcaster and friends, I said prior to the game that Eric could not be more wrong in picking the Texans to win, and I was willing to put up lunch if I was wrong. I expected a much better game, but the whooping the Texans took was impressive. However, in the spirit of the holidays and the hopes of a win over the 49ers, I am looking in to getting some brisket shipped to the crew, and this includes the junior Texas broadcaster, who I may also be getting a watch for as a Christmas gift. Just kidding, John.
JR, yeah. Texas broadcaster.
JR broadcaster.
Right, not junior.
Yeah, right. The joke.
I think it's funny to call him junior.
Oh, that's
the
what
joke,
they call him,
the
junior?
Joke is that we call him junior broadcaster now.
Okay, my bad. I didn't realize there was a funny at
it's point. An inside joke there, yeah.
All right.
And you on the outside.
A lot of emails. By the way,
read a couple of them coherently.
Have you noticed
let's not go too far, Paul.
Have you noticed that the NFL pants that Nike makes now
ass crack shows at all times?
Not just that, but like all the manhood is just all the time out there.
I actually haven't noticed.
I haven't noticed that.
Yeah. Crack is always out there. Every single play you see ass.
Well, it's crack is
like,
whack.
I think it should be blurred out at times.
I don't know if it's the pants or just the thing with the players crack? Now. But
it's actually the pants.
Nobody wears a jock strap anymore. Everyone's just out there.
How much time do you spend analyzing that area?
Help it.
And some people do wear jock straps because when the ass crack shows,
that's what
it
you
has
see,
the jock strap.
The band, absolutely. Well, in the back.
Yeah, stop staring at crotches.
I can't help it. I mean, it's out there.
I just want that on the record. I said stop staring at crotches, and he said I can't help it.
Our show should make cocks bigger.
What is? I have not noticed.
How about
that.
The Nike pants?
Now there was.
Do they make it bigger too?
You're a cock subscriber.
There was a claim at one point that some teams' jerseys, that area was getting wet, and it was essentially becoming see through.
The jersey?
No,
the pants.
The pants.
The crotch.
That area.
These pants. I don't know.
Because Nike is like. Cutting edge in terms of like the jersey thing.
The material
there's like
that
eight different materials in
right,
the jersey, and
right.
It does that square of sweat on the stomach. Yeah. And I guess the pants are, it's all cutting edge materials, and I guess some of them were kind of see through.
It might be just a way
I still
to get
don't
more
like them.
Female.
I thought
viewership,
I'd be used to them
I'm
by
not
now.
Sure.
Or more from you. Yeah.
Did you notice the halftime crack, Fred, when you were from the press box?
No.
The kid who was doing the stupid Pepsi bottle thing?
Yeah.
Which was still on the field when players were coming back
on
the field.
So Shane Graham and Gostkowski are like lining up to try to kick field goals, and they're like looking at me going like this with the bottle, and I was like, kick around it. And
that's good.
This kid
kick around it. You got a problem?
Bend it like back.
No, so this kid's trying to find the bottle, and I'm just trying to get him off the field and make sure he doesn't run into a player. And he trips over like one of those big wires that they're dragging the bottle with, and goes over, and his pants fall down, and he just like moons the crowd. And we played it in like slow motion, like his butt crack, like up on the board.
See, that's right. Well, the players are coming back out, and that's still going on. I stop it right there, and I say, you know what, you win.
Right, you touched the bottle.
I got to get you off.
Well, that's what I was ready to do, but we would have got screwed by upper management saying, we need to fulfill this because they bought this feature.
So instead, we have some guy lying on the ground with his ass.
Well, first of all,
so we'll pay the millions of dollars in the lawsuit that we're going to have to pay when Shane Graham tears an ACL.
And more eyeballs
around
saw
the Pepsi
that.
Bottle.
More eyeballs saw that yesterday than have all year because it was out there during the Matt Light thing,
true, yeah.
And a lot of people stayed in
they
their seats
up,
during the Matt Light thing.
They ended up kicking like two or three down the other end where the stage was, and then by that time. The bottle was gone. It really only takes them like a minute and a half to get that bottle off the field.
Yeah, I don't really care for that promotion.
Me neither, but it is what it is. Got to do what I'm told to do.
Let's see. Jonathan writes in.
It's not his fault.
I really think we need to give props to our D. all too often we only look at the number of yards given up by or big plays, but really the only statistic that counts is the number of points given up. The Patriots have given up 274 points so far this season. Other teams that the national media always talk about their great D is Houston, 263 points, Pittsburgh, 264, Giants, 270, Baltimore, 273. Really, the Patriots' D is not that far behind.
Baltimore is considered to be a terrible defense.
And just, we're a work in progress.
Just as a point of fact.
In my opinion, the only team that truly has a great D is the 49ers. I'll be driving 6 hours to see the game on Sunday, and I can't wait.
Can it be possible, just wondering.
For Paul to not fight a fan right
now. No.
I'm going to go with no.
I want to know because
ding, 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 ding. It
seems like we've gotten a little bit of a groundswell here of chastising about talking about the defense.
Okay.
Is it possible that the defense played an absolutely outstanding game Monday night?
Yes.
And it doesn't really necessarily mean anything about the previous 10 games?
Yes.
Or the first 10 games, I should say?
It's possible.
Like, do they have to be related? Like, do we have to have been wrong about what we saw?
Well, we're looking for, we're hoping. I mean, this is the thing.
No, but I think you can say the defense has played better lately. Not just this
week,
but lately.
Absolutely. That's what I said. But does that make us wrong about the first 10 games?
No.
Because they played better the last three?
No. Not necessarily.
Well, that seems to be where we're going. We're not looking at it the right way. We're focusing on yards and all of this other stuff. No, they've played better the last couple of games. What they were doing earlier in the year wasn't good. Now it is.
Right.
Monday night was great, dare I say. I thought they played great defensively against the Texans. But that doesn't mean I thought that they played better than I in retrospect, they were better against Buffalo at home.
No, they sucked.
No! It's like my whole officials rant.
Well, in other words, they didn't
do any better.
Anyone that criticized the defense early on wasn't
wrong. It's not wrong.
Wrong.
It's like that's my point. It's like the fanboy reaction.
If you continue to just say they suck... You know, they can't cover
the
Now you're being stubborn.
Now the last few weeks, they're showing the ability to get after the quarterback, to blitz a little bit, to cover better. McCourty makes a great interception. And
good read, yeah.
That's what I thought was also interesting the other day. It was a game where they played a good team, didn't get all the turnovers, didn't get four, five, six turnovers, although you can kind of include the turnover on downs as turnovers. But
they
you know, we said earlier this year, what's going to happen if you don't get all those turnovers? Well, we just saw it. They still won. They still played a good game. They still did what they needed to do. They got off the field on third down. You know, I said going into the game, third down was the most important down. They won third down. They won the game.
They also, you know, the ball did bounce their way more than once in that game.
That
is
true.
They could have, like, that the drive when Hernandez recovered the fumble.
Huge.
Yeah, because that changes the complexion of the game.
I mean, that easily could have been 7-0
Well, even the long PI that they got, that was a gift.
Oh,
I mean, that was a bad
bleep.
Call.
That was
on
absolute
Welker.
Horse bleep.
Mm-hmm.
Even you admitted that the time of.
It was a bad call.
But the breaks they got, I thought, Monday night were all offensive. I don't think they got any breaks defensive. I thought they just stopped them. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. What Andy says, like, if you don't recognize that they've played better Monday night defensively, then you're just being stubborn. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that like you said, it doesn't mean that they really played well, you know, in some of those other games when they were holding on for dear life the whole game.
Yep.
In the last 2 weeks now, they haven't really forced a lot of turnovers, and they're forcing punts. The fourth downs, those are punts. They went for it, but they stopped them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big change to me.
Danny is from Spain, and he says
hola.
D-A-N-I. No, it's Danielle, but he calls himself D-A-N-I. Is that Danny?
Danny?
I don't know, but it seems like a girl.
Yeah.
Danny.
A stripper.
Does he use
a heart? Is it a heart for the dot?
No, I listen to you from Spain thanks to the Patriots mobile app and obviously because of the amazing job you do. And I'm always aware of the latest news about my favorite team, so thank you. Really think this weekend's game against the 49ers is going to be huge. But yesterday showed us that any big team can be blown out if you're not at 100%. And that makes us maybe Super Bowl favorite contenders. But any bad team can put you in trouble, too, like Arizona. So we should keep our feet on the ground. Two positive,
a very sane perspective from Spain.
Mm-hmm. Two positive
sane
things.
Spain perspective.
Here we go. Two positive things about yesterday's game. Nobody talked about Gronk, so that's a great sign. And when Talib left the game after doing an amazing job with Johnson, Alfonso made some great plays, too. So that shows how sweet our defense moment is right now.
Momentum.
I guess so.
Hang on a second. At halftime, Andre Johnson had four catches for 58 yards. Average of 14.5 per catch.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
didn't exactly shut
shutting
him down.
That's the only point.
He made a nice play on the play he got hurt. And I actually
that was
think
the best play
Alphonso
made.
Dennard made a great play later on a play with Johnson coming across the field that he caught maybe 4 yards short of the sticks on third down, and he tackled him before he got to the chains. I thought they did a pretty good job on Johnson because, I mean, he is a guy that, you know, of late was putting up like 200-plus yards against teams.
This is
now, it's not to say that Tlaib was...
This is a guy!
Wasn't
he
to say
interrupts to
that
say.
Tlaib was terrible because he wasn't.
No!
He but let's not say that he shut down Andre Johnson.
He has
I think
not
to the
been
contrary,
horrific.
Andre Johnson won the matchup.
He has not been horrific, but he's not been good. He's not been as bad as we've seen, say, Devin McCourty last year.
No.
Week after week, just giving up 110 yards, 110 yards, 110 yards, 110 yards. But he hasn't lived up to, you know, we got to shut down corner. We got to man up.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
It's a guy. Fred's more interested now.
He's screening the emails.
Looking at his crotch.
Well, we only have a few minutes left, so I figured I'd waste them by doing nothing. No. A
lot of emails.
Clayton writes in about Devin McCourty. Hey, guys, love the show. Can we please give some props to Devin McCourty?
Yes.
This guy's been getting killed for the last year and a half or so, and most of it was deserved. But ever since he moved to safety, I think he's been very, very good. They don't seem to give up many big plays anymore, even if some of that is because the opposing QB is awful and guys don't seem as lost back there. He's brought some much-needed stability to the secondary, and I think he deserves a lot of credit. Biggest problem he seemed to have at cornerback was turning around to play the ball at safety, facing the play at all times. He seems to be a lot more comfortable. Do you guys think this is a permanent move, as in starting next season?
It's an interesting question.
I think there's
a good
chance.
I'd say yes.
I think there's a good chance it's permanent.
Okay.
Although, it wasn't even permanent on Sunday.
Well, only because it couldn't be.
No, I know, but he clearly...
They were obviously in a pinch. Guys who were, you know...
Be interesting.
You know, they're going to have to...
They couldn't put Chung at corner.
Do you think they'll re-sign
Tlaib?
They
had to.
I have no idea.
Because I think if you don't...
I think they do.
You know, certainly, you know, Belichick was pretty effusive in his praise for Tlaib and the way he prepares and all that. Likes the way he goes about his business. But I don't think – I agree with Andy. I don't think it's a lock by any stretch he's back.
I think the
and
other
if he's not, then what do you do?
I think Patrick Chung, I believe, is a UFA.
Yeah.
A free agent.
Yeah. He's gone, though. He doesn't play.
Yeah, that
doesn't
really –
That's what I'm saying. So if you get rid of Chung, it kind of – McCourty kind of just stays there, right?
Well, you have Wilson. You took a high second-round pick.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I thought he made an interesting point about Tavon Wilson, too.
Who's he?
Belichick on Monday, Tuesday, on Patriots Monday, on a Tuesday. saying how earlier, when the safeties were out, he was, he's capable of doing a lot of things, Wilson, he said. You know, he can get around the line of scrimmage. He can be in coverage. He can play the slot. He was playing deep safety. He didn't say it, but I think the inference was, I think maybe we were asking him to do too many different things. And you've seen now, with everybody back, he's got a more specific role. And he's not showing up as much in a negative way. Mm-hmm. He's been where he is. I think they maybe, he didn't say it, but I think that maybe he was kind of intimating that we put a little too much on his plate out of necessity, right, because our safeties were out. McCourty was playing corner at the time, and he was basically the guy with Gregory and Chung out of there playing safety. And I think he struggled in that role. I think they're a little bit higher on him than you would think. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and that's fine. I just, at some point, you're going to ask him to play deep safety again.
Yeah,
you're going to ask
maybe
him to
when
read
he has
double
more
moves,
than,
and if he doesn't read them, he's...
But maybe when he has more than three or four games under his belt, you're asking him to play everything.
Sure. We'll see. I think the reason he's not giving up big plays down the field is because he's not down the field anymore.
Are you calling him a bust?
No. But I don't think those... I don't think
Tavon Wilson.
No, I love him,
it's
actually.
Clear.
And I love
it's
the
clear.
Potential. I think he's an intriguing guy based on his size and his
yeah, and I think
package.
And I think they feel like that.
The problem is...
I'm not going to comment on his package, but I think that's
how
they
feel.
You
know what I mean. I mean his athletic package.
Only on Sunday mornings when I use the word package, you have to giggle.
No, I don't care about you. I care about the man I just asked. Why were you staring at crotches? And he said, quote, I can't stop or I can't help it, whatever the hell it was.
Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire. Guys, great game. I can now equate the Texans with the Falcons. They are built for the regular season, and I bet they will both be one and out in the playoffs. I can't believe that Kubiak threw in the towel that early in the fourth. Could you ever imagine Belichick doing that? The last time I remember us being that far behind was the season opening loss of the Bills. They were beating us something like 31-0. I seem to remember that Belichick kept the starters in for the entire game. To me, Kubiak equals loser mentality. You can say that he gave up because his players gave up, but I don't buy that. Anyway, now I'm ready for the Giants. This is the Giants ship that the Patriots need to get off the shoulder. It's like the Patriots' bucket list has everything checked off except that last item, beat the Giants in the Super Bowl. And I think this year it's going to finally get checked off. Keep up the great show and go Pats.
Yes, I could see Bill Belichick doing that, sending a message like that. Because I'm of the belief
I've seen him do it in New Orleans 2009 on a Monday Night Football game.
You know,
I think all coaches do it.
True.
You know, Paul and I have talked about it. I had a high school baseball coach in the middle of practice said, just go. Just get off the field.
That's
and
the second time you've had somebody say that to you.
You're like, yeah, that's true. It's one of those things that I think coaches, you know, they just have a point where you cross a line and they've just had enough.
Yeah, what the long-term ramifications are for Houston, I don't know. He might be right. Maybe they got emotionally damaged the other night and they're going to be one and out in the playoffs. It's not going to be because Gary Kubiak, I think, did the smart thing and saw that the game was unwinnable and got his players out of the game. I think that's good coaching late in the year. It's a little different in week one when you get blasted. You don't know what you are. You know, you're trying to figure out what you mean. Season opening game, how many times has Belichick tough? Every year's different. We don't know what kind of team, what kind of level of play we're going to establish. So getting blown out opening day, you don't empty the bench in the fourth quarter. You got to figure out what you got. But 13 games into the season, I think Gary Kubiak has an idea about what his team is. That night wasn't their night. You pulled a plug.
Let's see. Juve writes in, quick joke. He says, what do you get when you cross an apple with a Christmas tree? A pineapple. And what do you get when you cross...
The best part is that, like, it's irrelevant. Like, there's no tie-in. I thought maybe it would be like a Jim Harbaugh.
Well, and what do you get when you cross a Texan with a Patriot? A butt-whooping. There you go. That's Juve's joke.
Very juvenile.
I like the first part a lot better.
All right, John Rooks here.
Here's the junior broadcaster.
Hey, junior broadcaster, right. We just heard about that.
With a new do. Yeah. Not a junior do.
I'm looking very young. A little spike going on.
Kenny Mann-esque.
Got the Critique Society.
Well, you do have the Lions, Dan.
You have good hair. I'm not going to lie to you. How old are you?
Tony Logan.
53.
You got good hair.
Thank you. Thank you. I have hair, yes.
So, John, was it enjoyable?
Why do you look to your left when you look at Eric and I?
Just because the glare.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
Good job.
Somewhat uncalled
for. You just made me step right into that.
John, was it just as enjoyable from your perch Monday night?
Yes. Yes, it was. It was quite enjoyable. It was also a little bit surprising, I think, just from the magnitude of the butt-whooping.
Yeah.
I don't know that it makes me feel a tremendous amount better about this Sunday night or not. I guess I'm going to wait and see, you know, how practice goes this week and whether or not, you know, the 49ers offer up any other tidbits this week. But I have to admit that certainly was a step in the direction that I think most of us figured this team had to go in order to be considered a true contender.
Yep. 49ers will be wearing matching track suits when they
matching
come off the plane.
Track suits. I have to admit, coming off the buses on Sunday, or Monday, I should say, and seeing the Letterman jackets, I'm like, there was a part of me that thought that was pretty cool.
Yes.
And then there was another part of me that said, really?
I thought it was really cool.
I liked it.
And they came out and played like high schoolers.
If they did it like every week, I would say grow up. That's lame.
Yeah.
But like, you just,
but they had just gotten
no, see, yes. I think the opposite, Paul. I think if they did it every week, okay, that's what they do. But to do it just for this game, that's stupid.
No, I don't care
they
what
had
game.
Just gotten the jackets.
I'm saying that you do it one. Yeah, I with you, John.
No, but I think if it's our thing that we wear letter jackets, okay, that's fine.
No, I think that's
I don't
kinda,
mind that. But if
I thought
know,
it was
when
a
it's
kind
a
of
special
Welker
thing,
like,
that's when it's
I
silly.
Thought it was a kind of a neat thing for team unity or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and
I liked it.
It was very collegial or very, I mean, you could certainly say it was high schoolish.
Collegial.
But at the same time, I just thought it was something different that you don't expect to see from pros.
Right,
just
like,
sort of indicate that they're kind of together.
It's
on
like
this
the Notre Dame thing. Like they'll break out the all green. They don't do it every week.
No,
do it once.
Right. So I mean, I think that's fine. Now
you
if
don't
they keep,
like anything,
I like
Fred.
It.
If they keep bringing it back, now I think we got an issue.
Oh, if the Patriots did it, he would be the first guy pumping it on Patriots.com.
Love it. Yes.
oh, they got announced as a team? That's the coolest thing ever.
That's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, but the thing is people
except
don't know
that,
about.
Except for when we did it the year before at Thanksgiving in Detroit and lost 34-9.
They've been doing that all season. That's what people didn't realize.
What?
That year in 2001 when they got announced as the team in the Super Bowl, they had been doing that all season.
And but they only made a big deal of it once when they
They didn't make a big deal about it. They refused to be announced individually.
Pat Summerall said, choosing to be announced as a team.
Right, but the Patriots...
That's making a big deal out of
it. No, the Patriots did not make a big deal out of it. Pat Summerall made a big deal about it. The Patriots, you know, that's my point. If they
told them that's how they're insisting on doing it this way.
If their thing is to wear Letterman jackets every game, I have no problem with that. That's fine. But they, you know, to do it like for this game,
please. If the Patriots did it,
because this is the biggest game in the franchise history, that's where they fell apart.
The Patriots, if the Patriots did it, you'd be all over.
They didn't fall. The point is, Paul, they wouldn't do that. That's not what they do.
No, I know.
Instead, they insisted on
being announced.
No, they're better than everybody else because they're better than everybody else.
Thank you.
The Texans didn't lose because they. More Letterman
because
jackets.
Of all the things that add up to being better.
Oh,
all right, John, have a good show.
Yes.
And Peter King will be on with John.
Yes, at 3:30. Yes.
Okay. Stay tuned.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.